to you people. It is a Starship, a Rokon show with Anna DeBlantisoff for another week of broadcast insolence.
Are you trying to be cheery even though you're not?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure which direction we were going in here.
I got nothing to say here.
Season had a good run.
What's wrong? Yeah, what would be bothering you? Mr. Patel down in the convenience store was very worried about you. He said you might want to check up on Rome. Just check, make sure he's okay.
He didn't seem
to be smiling when I saw him come in today, and he believed he knew why.
I am not speaking to anybody about anything.
Isn't that kind of, you know, your job, though?
It's a great point, Lauren.
Excellent point. Plus, isn't it sometimes therapeutic to talk about things that might be bothering you and on your mind rather than just being passive-aggressive about it and holding it in and pretending nothing's wrong?
Bears ran 74 plays and produced 7 points.
Wait,
throw that in
I think there were a few points that were missed, too, as I recall.
Yep.
It was... Oh.
Classic wait till next year situation.
I have nothing to say. Now, Kevin, I think, if I am not mistaken, and I'm not, I think what Kevin did here was, he jinxed the whole damn thing.
Oh, it's Kevin. It's on Kevin.
Yeah, and he goes, you know, I just feel like Sunday's going to be the dagger, you know, and you're thinking about who was going to be out. And even though David Montgomery played, although I don't know that that was worth whatever strain there is on his already injured ankle.
And 31 yards on 14 carries. That's a 2.2 average.
Oh, geez.
You see what happened here was we went into this season coming off of last season and thinking, my God, this is, you know, Chicago Bears football is back, and we've got, you know, you've got a young quarterback, you've got young team, you've got Khalil Mack, you got this whole this could be a dynasty. That's what we were thinking. We were thinking that. You know why we were thinking that? Because we're kind of dumb. Because we're just kind of unexpectedly dumb.
And desperate.
Desperate.
You do dumb things when you're desperate.
Yeah.
Filled with hope. Come on. That was part of it.
What? Who?
We were.
Who's hope? Which one?
You were even mentioning the P word on Friday, that you were coming up with scenarios that would get them to the playoffs. Remember that conversation?
Yeah, you know what?
On Friday.
And last night I used another P word to describe our quarterback.
Oh.
Yeah, hope was killed last night when the clock went to zero at LA Coliseum. And the Bears and Rams finished up 4 quarters of play. That's it. Season's over. 6 games left. Watch if you want, or do something more productive for a few hours for the next six games.
Well, Thanksgiving, it allows me to,
change the subject of the conversation?
Well, it's the early game. It's always the earliest. So it's like an 11 o'clock start, and I'll be, you know, I'll have half my head up a turkey by then, trying to get all the, you know, poo water out of it.
Oh.
Like, that's what you got to do, unfortunately. Oh. That's sort of what.
Is that true?
Yeah.
The poo water?
Well, you kind of get it. You know, you have to get in there and clean out the inside of your
turkey.
Yeah, you got to.
I'm going to ask that question at Thanksgiving when my sister serves the turkey.
Yeah.
Did you get all the poo water out of it?
Oh, gross. You guys are killing my Thanksgiving appetite.
What the heck? I didn't know that was like turkey. You didn't?
By the way, there's a story we're going to do coming up on the war on Thanksgiving. There, you know, Kevin has been also pushing this, and he's right. There is a war on Thanksgiving. You know, Christmas won the war on Christmas. Well, Donald Trump won the war on Christmas, right?
And then Christmas got cocky, wants to take all the other holidays with it.
Right, and so now it's attacked Thanksgiving. And I just think it's wrong.
Right.
And I would like to bring it back, and I want to bring the turkey back. I was on the Windy City Live today. We just did the story about how there's this woman who's trying to cancel Thanksgiving because it's cruel to the birds, you know. But what is the turkey going to go to college? What do we have to worry about?
We don't have to eat turkey.
Don't birds get eaten all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you took Thanksgiving out of it.
Chicken, I think, is quite popular.
Birds are going to...
Yeah, people are getting stabbed over chicken at local fast food chains.
Right. So you got the chicken, and you could do a tenderloin if you want. You know, you could do a tofurkey.
Tofurkeys
are
good.
You could do a whole thing. I mean, I like tofu. I'm not a communist, but I like tofu.
A lot of options.
Yeah. So you know what? Just the whole thing. was that you're supposed to be able to watch football and drink while you're making dinner for the whole family. And then everybody gets around and they get grumpy and they start fighting about stuff that they shouldn't be fighting about, even before this, you know, current political situation that we find ourselves in. My family always fought at Thanksgiving. There was always something.
There somebody, is always something.
Somebody said something to somebody and it just got, oh, you know, just forget about it. Just, you know, now, you know, I kind of like the fact that we're fighting about something not family related. I sort of prefer that. No, it's like, oh, you want? Oh, and sometimes I'll just throw it. Hey, how about that Donald Trump? Just into the onto the table so that they stop fighting about Aunt Eleanor. That's the thing.
The listener pointing out Blackhawks scored more points than the Bears this weekend.
Oh,
Blackhawks scored 11 goals over the weekend.
Ouch.
It's true.
But at least we have something to look forward to.
We've got the Blackhawks. They're officially back, folks.
Yeah. That was exciting.
Oh, they are back. They are really back.
Yep.
They're playing exactly the way that we thought that they could play at the beginning of the season.
And that rookie, Doc?
Kirby Doc.
Oh. Yeah. Love that kid. Yeah. He's amazing.
So there's all of that.
Scored his first goal on my birthday, by the way. Just saying.
No big deal.
Bottom line, Bears season over, and Blackhawks are alive. Bulls stink, too, but Blackhawks alive.
And OB will be here at 440, 448, actually, to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be something right there. I hope you people are prepared. Right now, I hope that Lauren Lapka is prepared to tell us what's happening on the roads and in the skies.
And then there's this. Months after 911, a pound of cyanide found in a CTA tunnel. 9/11, I should have said. The man responsible, Dr. Chaos, now he's out of prison. Chasing Chaos, WGN-TV investigates. It's a story you'll see tonight at 9.
Now, speaking of chaos, here's Ben Bradley from WGN-TV Newsroom.
You always have the nicest intros for me, Ro.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah,
especially after we had such a lovely weekend together.
I was going to say, you guys survived.
So can you tell us all now where you went on the road trip?
Well, we went to Notre Dame. We said, I think we said that last week. I think we acknowledged
that. Oh, you did. You let
it
out. Yeah.
Yep, we went to the Notre Dame football game. My first time taking in an Irish football game. It was awesome. Weather was beautiful. Tailgate was great.
Game was over in the first quarter.
just how Roe likes it.
So we, and what we did is we got a designated driver.
Yes. Smartest move ever, Ro. My congratulations and appreciation to you for
Thank you. And it was me and Mr. Bradley and Mr. Joe Donlan, the principal anchor at WGN-TV News.
And never stop letting us forget that, by the way. Yeah, I thought it was strange that he was walking up to a bunch of people and introducing himself that way. And they were like, dude, we're from southern Indiana.
Was he carrying a fake
mic? They're running a picture of us on CLTV.
Let's see.
Oh, no.
No, that was
that
the
looks
best
like
we
trouble.
Looked. That was the best we looked.
That was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fresh-faced and happy. And
all you need to know, Anna, is on the way home, again, with this designated driver, somebody had to stop to use the facilities, so we stopped at an Oasis, and I came out with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken for everybody.
You're like, I just know.
I was like, we better eat something, boys.
Oh, yeah.
So was everyone on good behavior?
Let's just say we had to stop a number of times on the way home. And a couple of times I'm like, you're on the road, you know?
Yeah.
We're on the road!
Yeah. And I slept over at Joe's house that night, which was unplanned.
Well, that was a good move.
Unplanned and, I will say, unappreciated by Mrs. Donlan.
Did you wake up and you borrowed her robe and sat down at the breakfast table? And
yeah, she was going to make me breakfast, pebbles. But I had to get out of there because my kids had a soccer game in Crown Point or something. But
I'm not going to Crown Point. Oh, God.
Let me say, until you've seen the look on Mrs. Donlin's face when all of us show up, and some of us are clearly going to be spending the night in their spare bedroom.
That's lovely.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I'm sure you were
woman.
A great house guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There have been lots of not only thank you, but apology texts floating around.
Yeah. The point is that we had a good time and we investigated things. Mr. Donlan has family who's going to Notre Dame currently.
Yeah, we got to see his daughter. Mm-hmm. She came to meet us, and then she was clearly not entertained by hanging out with the old men.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
She hung at the tailgate for, was that 4 minutes or 6 minutes?
Then there was, I don't even know. All I know is that she just walked right by me. But there was, and then there was these Notre Dame families. The one thing about Notre Dame is that it has an alumni corps, which is really, 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 really dedicated,
yeah,
really proud of the association, likes to tell you with it's like Harvard, likes to tell you within the first sentence and a half that you know, they're associated with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Either they or their kids or, you know, yeah, whatever it is.
Or I like the people who don't even have any association but are still there every weekend tailgating.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And my father-in-law is like that. Everyone, you know, he wears the Notre Dame Irish hat and everything. And everyone's like, oh, did you go to, no. Did your kids go to Notre Dame? No.
I think, you know, I think part of it is that, you know, in Chicago, it's a big deal.
It
it's
is.
A very big deal.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
like, even going back to the Newt Rockne story, if you ever see that movie from the 1930s, I think it is, where Spencer Tracy plays, you know, Newt Rockne, there is, you know, they come to Soldier Field to play a game. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like their whole thing. We're going to go to Chicago. We're going to learn the T formation. And it was like, you know, they had all of this, like, you know, crazy connectivity to the city.
Yeah.
So what they are is a very, it's an amazing tradition. And it's such a beautiful campus. And it's such an amazing school, amazing institution. And they do, and honest to God, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are using Jesus for marketing these days. Kanye comes to mind immediately. Mm-hmm. I hope he's in the top 5 and 5 today. But, you know, there's, you know, they got Touchdown Jesus right there.
And they were
right
using
there.
It before it was fashionable.
Yeah.
Exactly. What I love about it is, you know, I'm married a Southside Irish girl. And so, you know, as we were walking into the stadium, everyone was like, hey, Ben. And it's all of Molly's parents, friends from, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
You know, who, of course, go there all the time. It's like the Southside Irish Mafia just moves around.
Yeah. No, it was very fun, and people were very welcomed by the people at the tailgate. And, you know,
I had two guys come up and go, hey, are you supposed to be here? Who are you with? Because I have, like, a mouthful of Doritos.
I always wonder about that, how it's you sort of patrol when you've got those super-duper tailgates.
Yep.
And it feels like, you know, you got people coming and going, how do you know that, you know, is it just sort of fluid and it's okay?
I mean, don't you believe in a tailgate, though? It's sort of, it's a communal thing.
Come and go as you wish.
Yeah,
it is, but you don't want people taking advantage of it. And they had this great orange van that had been specially outfitted inside. All the seats were gone, and they just had, like, wooden racks to hold all the food, the supplies for the 10-hour tailgate. And as I'm, like, leaning in, you know, foraging for a beer or something like that, somebody goes,
supplies.
Who are you here with? And I thought, uh-oh. And I couldn't remember the host's name that we had met five minutes before.
I just want to point out, by that time, which is about an hour before game time, no one was remembering anything. We were wheels up at 8:30 in the morning.
Yes, we were.
From downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to say is that there was a designated driver because we had equipped the vehicle with the proper amount of libation to get us to South Bend.
So Roe and the designated driver pull up in front of Joe Donlin's building where we were meeting, and I come wheeling out with a entire cooler that I had packed for the day, and Roe goes, I already got a cooler. So we had two coolers of stuff. And we got through all of it.
Yeah. Well stocked.
Yeah, it was very bad. Anyway, I just want to thank Limo Bob.
Mm-hmm. Limo Bob was excellent, by the way.
He's a guy. He is. You know, there's Limo Joe, who actually is my consigliere, and he's the operations manager of this institution.
Mm.
But then there is. But then every once in a while, when he doesn't want to do something because he knows it's going
to
go bad,
he says
Bob will handle it.
I'm surprised he didn't want the South Bend trip. Yeah. I could see Limo Bob, though, within minutes of us getting in, he was already hitting the button to put up the divider.
He's like, I don't want to see nothing.
I don't want to see nothing. But the best is going to be when Roe expenses this whole thing to WGN.
See how that
because,
goes.
You know,
WGN
this
TV.
Is team building.
I'm actually going to do it to WGN TV because I respect these people too much around here. I'm going to send Rennie the bill for this.
Pat O'Brien, by the way.
We could have done ropes course for team building. We could have done some retreat to.
Yeah. I just want to say, congratulations to Notre Dame. They are the real deal. That is a real football team. They beat, you know, they beat Navy. Navy was ranked. It's the first time those two institutions have been ranked since, I think, World War II.
And there was all this talk that it was the first time the stadium hadn't been sold out in 240-some-odd games.
Huh.
But we looked around, and there was not an empty seat.
No, it was
game has been played annually since 1927.
Did you guys get to see all the Bob Rosses?
No.
There was a huge video going around of just a giant section of Bob Ross's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I think you need to come on the next trip, Lauren, because I think... I haven't been there
in a while. And my sister went there, so there you go.
See, there you go.
I gave you.
There was a, that was a,
That's what you're talking about.
Within the sentence and a half, and my sister went there.
I'm giving you the reason why I've been there plenty, though.
Lauren does not like that. Pat O'Brien, by the way, played the new Rockne, not Spencer Tracy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A couple of texters. Right. Just let us know.
I love Pat O'Brien. His bar up on Wall Street, right?
Yeah. That's a different
He's a Southsider, too, isn't he? Right. Did he go to Notre Dame?
So it was it's worthwhile, if you have not ever done that, if you have not been to a Notre Dame football game, you like college football, or you love college football, it's just one of those places. People got to go to Alabama to see a game. LSU is a crazy place to see a game. Michigan,
I'd love to do that.
Ohio
yeah.
State, all those kinds of programs.
It's an experience.
And as special as Evanston is on a game day Saturday, I think there is something about going to a town where the entire town and region revolves around that college.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan's got it. I went to Mizzou, Columbia,
Iowa.
Missouri, the same thing.
Iowa, right, for sure.
You know, it is, everyone is there for one reason, and they're all wearing the same colors.
University of Colorado, where they actually let the wild animal out and run around the field, and they have to catch it before it goes into the audience and kills somebody.
It got a little harder after they legalized out there.
All right. We got a backpack that caught fire at where was it?
At Midway Airport. It was a Southwest Airlines flight. They were boarding this flight, and all of a sudden, people started noticing that a passenger's backpack was smoking. Southwest Airlines flight attendant, and I did not realize this, but apparently they have a special bag on board all planes to put something that's burning in. It must be made of some special material. And the Southwest Airlines flight attendant very quickly put this backpack, you know, in this special container until Chicago Fire arrived. Nothing sinister. It sounds like some sort
battery.
Of battery.
I thought
overheated.
We had that fixed. Why? Is that not fixed?
I think you're thinking of the suitcases that, you know, double as phone chargers. Not sure how anyone thought that would be a good idea. right?
I know we have
in hindsight, right.
Yeah.
Right. Seemed like a cool thing, though. I bought baggage like that.
And if I could, just one quick thing. I want to direct you to the WGN News tonight at 9 o'clock. Joe Donlan and team are starting a four-part series called Chasing Chaos. And it's this fascinating story. Anna,
following Ben
just...
around.
Yeah, exactly. Follows our trip to Notre Dame this weekend. Yeah. But it looks at an incident that happened... back just after 9/11, a guy found with cyanide, sentenced to 20 years, did it at Supermax with some of the big names.
Yep.
Joe Donlan and team caught up with him, and they're going to tell this story over four nights, and they've also produced a podcast that's available at WGNTV.com to accompany it. It's a really fascinating story that
I think
will be a good listen.
Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
All right.
Adios.
Let us now check in with Kim Gordon in the WGN Radio Newsroom in 2. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Look who's in the WGN TV newsroom right now.
Oh,
Demetrius,
it's Demetrius
Ivory, who is the only person that I trust now at WGN TV after my weekend with Ben and Joe Donlan. I hate getting pantsed on I-80. That's all I'm going to tell you. Thank you for not doing that. Thank you, Demetrius.
I warned you, right? Don't hang with Ben Bradley.
Yes, I did. You did warn me. You did.
Just a couple things you don't do. That's one.
So can we talk about the warm-up that's going to happen this week?
Yeah.
Because it's making me feel like I just said this to Anna. We're very soupy down here right now.
You can barely see Navy Pier from Wacker and Columbus here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful shot, right? Come visit Chicago in November, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's gray. It's almost... It's hard to imagine that we can breathe the air without drowning, is the way it feels.
And it's one of those things where you put on your wipers, even though it's not raining or drizzling.
Right. You're just catching it in the air. So is this going to be, from this point forward, if it gets warm, it's going to have to be like this, right? Are we already hit that sort of Arctic world?
I love that warm is now what's kind of trending. Not warm. I mean... We'll get into the 50s come Thursday, but that's it. After that, Friday, we'll be back in the 30s. So, it's like tonight, we're going to see rain kind of mixed with some snow come our way late. Probably going to affect us into early tomorrow morning, too. I expect rain, maybe even some freezing drizzle in some areas. So you got to be on the lookout for that. Maybe some icy spots late tonight and early tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's high temperature is only low 40s, though. But then as we get into Wednesday and Thursday, highs climb into the 50s, low 50s in time for Thursday. But then after that on Friday, they drop once again for another beautiful weekend with highs in the low 40s.
Aren't we in the middle of like a 20-day stretch of below normal temperatures?
Yeah, last time it was mid-October. I got to look at the, because there was one day where our high climbed above normal, but the low was so low that the daytime temperature was below normal. So it's been like a month now that we have had temperatures that have been below normal. So this month is going to be way below normal.
Can you do us a favor? I know you try not to get 10 days out, but can you just kind of give us a little peeky look at next week? Is it for people who have to travel? Are there any major snow events or anything heading our way?
And as you mentioned, 10 days is, you know, I tell folks I live my life 7 days at a time.
Okay.
10 days is a little bit out, but right now, 10 days from now, does look like we do warm up a little bit, kind of like more moderate temperatures. But I would not say that we're going to be expecting a snowstorm yet, but I think it's a little bit too early
to know.
Because once you open that one up, that there will be or won't be.
Yeah.
It replays, and before you know it, I'm
right.
You
know, I know you don't want to commit.
Filling out resumes. I understand. Again. I just did it last week.
Well, that's because you didn't make the astronaut corps. The question that I think everybody has is not just for as you head into next week, and we'll talk to you about this, but it's not just here. But it's also if you're heading east or you're heading west or wherever it is, because you can, especially in the East Coast, you get snowstorms there. People are going to fly back and forth for, you know, to visit family or families coming in from there. That's where people get messed up.
And that's the thing that we found is that it's not really around the country. Like you said, it's East Coast. It's major airports. So even if it's nice here, if, you know, New York area gets hit pretty hard, or even, you know, down south, even Atlanta, if some of those major hubs get hit, then it really causes a lot of a mess as far as that goes. But, you know, right now, it's still a little bit too early to talk about Thanksgiving, I think, in terms of forecast.
Sorry to get a head start.
Just yet.
Pardon?
Is Erin okay when you only plan your entire life 7 days at a time?
Well, you know what? She still looks at weather apps. And when I say still looks at it, she'll look out the window and say, well, it looks cold outside. I said, no, it's 50. Or, you know, it's 60.
And she doesn't believe you, does she?
And then she's on the weather app.
Yeah.
She lives with a weatherman.
I know. No. You don't understand.
No.
Once you're married, it doesn't matter what you are.
Yeah. You're not the expert.
You're no longer
anymore?
The expert on
at
anything.
Home.
Like,
home.
You could be Dr. Jonas Salk. You could be a guy. You could be the guy who invented the greatest, most important, you know, medical find of all time.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, you're an idiot. You're
and
I have a sore throat. Well, it's probably just, no, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
How do
you're
you
wrong.
Know I'm wrong?
You're on WebMD.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get it. I understand what's
going on. So she'll be like, you know, the app says it's going to rain in exactly 2 hours and 37 minutes.
Isn't it amazing what a genius you were when you were just the boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tell me more about the weather, Demetrius.
Yeah, right. And then you get married, and it's like the minute, it's like in the limo away from the church is when they go, all right, here's the new rules.
Yeah.
You're a moron.
Yeah. So I'm not trusted on that.
Keep your mouth shut and look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Demetrius.
We appreciate your forecast.
Enjoy the warm up.
That 1 hour.
Goodbye. Go get ready for your real job. All right, let me tell you this. Oh, Blackhawks tickets. All right, now we got nothing going on in this town except for the Blackhawks. That's it. And they're hot. They're back. They're playing amazingly well. You got the great Kirby Doc, who's like he's basically a young Patrick Kane. We just found ourselves Kaner 2.0.
Yeah, only the second player to get two goals in one game at the age of 18, along with Patrick Kane, in 40 years.
Yep, there you go. This guy's going to be really something. Got chances to win Hawks tickets coming your way after 4:30 and after 6:30 tonight. They're both for the same game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday. We're going to be at that game, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and tune in every Monday all season long to win the Four Seasons tickets. And we'll be doing the pregame from there, the pregame. We'll do our show from 3 o'clock till the pregame show. So come by Goose Island.
Come say hello.
111, 112. We learned that the hard way last week. All right, here's Lauren Lapko. What's happening in the roads and the skies? News coming your way for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in just, well, let's call it 13 minutes from this moment
very
forward.
Specific.
Yeah. I like to do that. I like to be specific. All right, there is a story that I saw today that I'm completely freaked out by. There's a study that was done that is indicating that Starbucks attendance is declining in the wake of their open bathroom policy. There was a study that was done. University of Texas at Dallas and Boston College. And I saw the methodology on this. I'm like, okay, well, how do they know that for sure? They were using, according to the story, and I read some of the actual research itself that was linked in the story, that they were using cell phone data to do it.
What?
Yes. Knowing if how long people were spending.
The Wi-Fi?
I think on the cell phones. Well, we'll find out because we got one of the authors here.
Great.
Thank God. I'd like to know the answer to this because David Solomon from Boston College is with us. Professor?
Hi.
I'm freaked.
Nice. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on. Let's just talk about the methodology first, then we'll get to the findings.
Sure.
What are you doing? How do you know where the cell phones are and who has the cell phones? What's going on there?
So the basic idea is we're using the company that we're getting the data from, Safegraph. They get location data from the various location-enabled services that people have on their phones, so like weather apps and things like that, when the phone finds out where you are. And what they do, they're not tracking each individual person in terms of like giving us that data, but they aggregate the total movements that you get from these locations to just work out how many cell phones effectively go to a store each month. And so we don't know the individual people, but we just know total visit accounts for each store location for each month.
But it says it in the story. It says that anonymized the phones were anonymized, so you didn't know. But your study indicates that the decrease in attendance at Starbucks because of their open bathroom policy, which is has its own set of kind of racial issues, and we'll get to that in just a second. But the study says that equal amount of white and black customers are not patronizing at the same level that they were. How would you know that if the cell phones were anonymous?
That's a great question. What we do know, what Safegraph knows, is it knows the neighborhood, the census block is the technical name that the device lives in. So in other words, it's about a unit of about 1,500 homes. And from the U.S. Census, we know the demographics of that neighborhood. So we don't know any one person, but we just know, on average, more customers from primarily black areas versus more customers coming from primarily white areas versus customers coming from a mix of both. And so that's sort of enough information to let us estimate information about the average person in the area where the device goes to each night, and that lets you know, and same things for like income and other stuff that the census collects.
Okay, so then we go to the finding, which is that it appears that your summation here is that because of the open bathroom policy now at Starbucks, where people can come in and sit and use Starbucks and use the bathroom without having to purchase anything, and that this all goes back to that issue back in Philadelphia a couple of years ago where the woman called the police on the two guys that were sitting there that were waiting for their friends to show up, and then the friends showed up and there was police and the whole thing was bad, and then Starbucks went through this retraining program and all of that. So this is all based on that, right? So the question is, you're saying that based on that, because there's more people, there may be more homeless people, because you even mentioned that in the study, that Starbucks closer to homeless shelters have even fewer amounts of people just hanging out?
So the first way we establish the finding is what we're really comparing is, you can think of it as we're comparing each Starbucks store to neighboring other coffee shops. So we also, and this is kind of one of the neat things about the cell phone data, you have data not just on what's going on at Starbucks, but you also know the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf down the street, or Pete's, or a private cafe, or anything like that. And so the idea is, you can compare what happens to Starbucks after the policy change with what happens to the other coffee shop down the road. And the nice thing about that is that lets you strip out all sorts of other things that could be going on that would drive just changes in Starbucks, like the area got richer or poorer, or you know, people buy more coffee overall or things like that. And so I think that the first order finding that we have is that Starbucks has gone down relative to all of the other coffee shops nearby. And then the second bit you were mentioning about the homeless shelter is we can say, well, which Starbucks stores seem to be affected more relative to their nearby coffee shops? And the answer is ones in dense urban areas with a lot of foot traffic and ones in the vicinity of homeless shelters. And these are the kind of areas where you might expect more demand on the policy that says anyone can sit at the tables, anyone can use the bathroom. And so that's where you end up seeing the bigger declines.
And this and why did you guys decide to do this research in this way? Did you have a hypothesis that this was happening and wanted to prove it?
So we were mostly interested in this from a kind of economics perspective, because it's a really interesting example of like a public good. Because you normally think of public bathrooms as the kind of thing that the government provides mostly. And every now and then, the question of what happens when companies try and do these things is really interesting, because, you know, the hope is they get private benefits and their brand improves and more customers end up coming in and things like that. But that doesn't have to be the case when you go ahead and test it. And so I think to us, we were interested in the answer either way. And I think we would have loved to have found out that Starbucks actually benefited a ton and everyone came in to go to their store and everyone was a winner. But the surprising thing is, or may or may not be surprising, depending on your views ahead of time, but it just doesn't look like that's what happened in the data when we measure it.
Did you go any further to look? Was it bathrooms not being kept cleanly enough because so many people were using them? They needed to be cleaned more? People were turned off by that? I mean, I just wonder what else might be at play here.
So we can't measure the cleanliness of the bathroom from cell phone use, but one of the things that we can measure, which is, you know, that suggests that there's some role for the bathrooms. For a small number of cities, you can actually get geographic information on police citations for all sorts of different crimes. And it turns out for a couple of cities where we can measure this, after the policy, there's actually a decrease in police citations of public urination in the vicinity of Starbucks stores, but not for a whole lot of other minor or public crimes. So which doesn't mean it's just a bathroom, but it does look like this was effective at making public bathrooms. It just wasn't necessarily effective at creating more Starbucks customers.
All right. Professor, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Professor.
All right. Yes, thanks very much.
Thank you. That's David Solomon from Boston College. I saw this Fox News pushes story earlier today, and I saw it, and I thought, you know, it's... I was surprised by it. I was surprised that the look of this was going to be to see, especially the homeless overlay, is that are people hanging out less at Starbucks if you've got a cell phone? It's what it's telling you, because it's cell phone data, right? And if you've got a cell phone, you're hanging out less at the Starbucks, especially near the homeless shelters, because the homeless people are going into the Starbucks. That's not really been my experience in this. You know, I think actually people are at Starbucks less because they're doing pickup orders, right?
Yeah, it could be.
Spend less time there. That is for sure.
Yeah, but the Starbucks near me is mostly people just bolting in and bolting, getting their coffee and going. You know, just there isn't a lot of hanging out. But it's a small one.
It did seem to me that there was an intent behind this, to make it seem as though that the public bathroom policy is just a bad for business policy and trying to turn people away from that, you know, trying to put some pressure on them corporately. And I don't think Starbucks is going to bend on that necessarily.
No, especially the way they position themselves in the wake of a couple of bad headlines. 219, I just rolled up to my Starbucks, didn't have to go, but after this talk, now I have to go to the bathroom.
There you go. So feel free to go.
Inspect it for us.
Policy?
Let us know.
And I find that the Starbucks bathroom is fairly, you know, you know, the bathrooms like on the road and stuff are not necessarily great. You know, when you're like, pulling into
gas stations
and they're like those big, they're like truck stop kind of bathrooms. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big
it's
fan
hit or
of
miss,
those.
But yeah.
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 But Starbucks I found to be fairly good. And I don't see the same problems that that they're indicating in this story. I have suspicion about this. I just do.
You have suspicion?
I do.
About the intent, motivations?
Yeah.
World's largest Starbucks right here in Chicago, as we know, drew nearly 10,000 people on Friday. Did you see the lines for that?
That's so silly to me, too. I mean, it's cool, but if you really want coffee, there's a lot of stores around.
Yes. There's a Starbucks right across the street from it, by the way, in case you want to go get coffee and not stand in the lines. But it was, oh, man.
That's exactly what I did. Yeah. I walked over there 45 minutes to an hour. I turned around and walked to the one a block away.
Right. We got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, too. Okay. Many things happening in this 4 o'clock hour. We're about to name a whale. We're going to do that right this second.
Oh, that's putting us on the spot a bit.
And then after we name the whale, we've got to talk about the war on Thanksgiving. And somebody wants to cancel Thanksgiving, and I want to cancel the person who wants to cancel Thanksgiving. I'm done with canceling.
I love Thanksgiving.
I want to cancel the cancel people. OB is going to be here. We also have a new Bears song. If there's anything that can make you feel better about this, and that's all we want to do, we would like to salve your wounds.
What rhymes with Trubisky?
You'll be surprised at what happens here in this song. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just want to tell you, you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to enjoy it. That's coming your way just a few minutes. And we got tickets to see the Blackhawks take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thanks to our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, all coming your way this hour. All right?
I'm excited about the song.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our sonic genius did it.
Brian Altimer, yeah. He's the best.
And something happened here that is just ain't exactly clear. Something's happening here, ain't exactly clear. You know, I think maybe I should do a song around that. That's a phrase that seems to work. All right, the Shedd Aquarium has a baby whale.
Aw, beluga?
Yep. Nice. And they want.
Isn't there already a song about a baby beluga, too? Wow, everything's just coming together.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to be excited. There's nothing to be excited about anymore.
A baby whale is hopeful.
They have 5 name options for the new whale, and they're looking for a public. They're doing a pod poll. And
a pod?
Yeah, what's that?
That's like a pod of whales.
Oh. So
they call them pods.
Okay.
So the names for the baby whale at the Shedd Aquarium, born July 3rd. And they still don't have a name?
How do they communicate?
First.
Without a name.
I know.
Get over here.
The first beluga born at the Shedd since 2012. That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
It's a baby boy. He weighs 330 pounds. Perhaps he would like to play for the Bears.
Suit him up.
All right. So here are your names. Anik.
I like it.
Which is soft snow in the Inuit language.
Oh, beautiful.
Soft snow. Kulu, which is a term of endearment for babies and young children. These are all Inuit.
Mm-hmm. Appropriately.
Na-i-i-i-chuck. Na-i-i-chuck.
I think you need a pronouncer on that one, Rowan. I'm not sure you got that
means
one.
Means brave. Na-ni-i-i-chuck. By the way, I don't know that word because no one's ever called me that. Ikulak, confident. And Imovik, which, by the way, isn't that something already that you see a commercial for on TV?
Imovik, yeah.
Side effects.
I take that shot, actually.
You do?
I do.
So, oh, you gotta reel
what do the side effects include?
I've never noticed any.
All right. Rash around injection site, that kind of thing.
Sure.
All right.
I don't know. It's never happened.
So it's Imovik. I think Imovik sounds too much like a pharmaceutical.
Yeah,
I like Kulu.
What was the first one again? That was my favorite.
Anik.
Yeah, Anik.
For soft snow.
Kulu is just the easiest to pronounce. Let's go with that one.
Kulu.
That's easy to rhyme with.
I decided. Just tell Shed we already decided. Forget about the poll. They don't need anybody else. Wait, what do we decide? We go the first one or the second one? Anik or Kulu? Kulu?
I like Kulu.
Kulu?
I like Kulu.
All right, Kulu.
I guess I'm outvoted.
Yep, you're outvoted. Kulu, term of endearment for babies and young children. Ah. Well, when he grows up to be a gigantic beluga whale, what's going to happen then?
Well, it's just like some people call dogs puppies, no matter how old they are. So think of it that way, I guess.
All right. It's going to grow to be 3,000 pounds.
Oh, gee.
And 18 feet long.
You know how you can tell how long a beluga whale is?
How do you tell?
You measure it from the top of its head to its tail.
And you're looking at its doll's eyes.
You should go work at the Shedd Aquarium.
Hulu's got dead eyes, like a doll's eyes, black eyes, looking at you, and you don't know it. The water turns red.
It's a beluga whale.
Oh, I didn't show up to the shed and scare all the kids.
I know. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
Gather around, kids, as I tell you about Kulu.
You know, on being the jaws of Kulu, I'll tell you one thing I remember. Herbie Blitzen, shortstop from Cleveland. We're in the water. Sharks in the water. Come a patrolling. I went to wake him up, and he just bobbed up and down like a top. Bitten clear in half. Kids, anybody thirsty?
Shedd Story Hour with Rokan. Gather around. A couple things I want to tell you about the belugas. Poor children.
Good luck to you, Kulu. Adieu and adieu, my dear Spanish lady.
Security, get this guy out of this bed.
Lauren Lapka, what's happening on the roads? Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 mm-hmm. WGN. Coming up, I got Hawks tickets for you.
Yeah.
Next to Four Seasons. I got OB going to lose his mind. Woo. We got a new Bears song. We got all that going. But first, we're going to uncancel Thanksgiving. That's what we're going to do here, people.
Can I just mention that the name that we all voted on for the whale at the Shedd Aquarium, Kulu, mm-hmm. is what we came up with out of the five choices that the Shedd Aquarium offered. Listener lets us know that Kulu means butt in Italian.
What? Are you sure?
Yep.
That's appropriate for this show, don't you think?
I think had you known that, you definitely would have picked it. But, you know, you picked it anyway. Just thought you should know that.
Kids, gather around. I want to tell you what Kulu means in a bunch of other languages. In Mandarin, it means ovary. What?
All right.
This man's really weird.
The recent report from National Geographic and the Climate Action Tracker has found that we are having trouble with greenhouse emissions. Well, we kind of knew that. Mm-hmm. We're far from reaching our 2020 goal for lower emissions. All right, everybody wanted to do it. It's getting worse. The global average temperature has gone up by a degree and a half Celsius. And that's a big concern. And you know what? Do you know what some people are blaming for this?
What?
Turkey!
What?
Not the country. Meat and meat byproducts, cheese, butter, heavy cream, for example, have a larger environmental footprint than plant-based ingredients. Carbon footprint of a 16-pound turkey creates a total of 34.2 pounds of CO2. You know what? They're just using this in the war. On Thanksgiving. No, the war on Christmas has already been won. And now Christmas is attacking Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I will not have it.
I don't understand any of this.
Why is Christmas so jealous of Thanksgiving? It's still the more popular holiday.
Christmas is attacking Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Pretty evident, yeah. It's a crisis we need to address.
Christmas.
How is Christmas attacking Thanksgiving?
Because Christmas starts now the day after Halloween.
November 1st.
So it's kind of overlaying.
Yeah, it's just spotlight
from the holiday.
It's pushing Thanksgiving out of the way. Forget about Thanksgiving. And there's a whole group of people just want to cancel Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met these people. Have you?
They're out there.
They're out there. I'm telling about them right now.
Okay.
There's a woman who had started some sort of Facebook thing to cancel, you know, like one of those. She's on a jihad. She's almost one of these Putin people. I'm kind of imagining.
She's a bot.
Yeah, that wants to cancel Thanksgiving. We did a story on it this morning, and it's ridiculous. Why would you do that? Thanksgiving is the best of all of the holidays.
I think so. My favorite.
I especially love it when my family goes home. That's the best part.
You could do that voice from your Shedd Aquarium. Maybe everyone will go home earlier. Let me tell you a story before we eat.
I've got a turkey neck here.
Tell them about
remember the time that we were floating in the water. That was the worst time. Just when I saw the PBY coming in over us, I thought, oh, am I going to make it or am I going to end up naked and broken like this turkey leg?
This is the longest toast ever.
I know, right? Can you imagine?
Anyway, Dr. Paul Fischbeck, who worked on the study, and a professor at Carnegie Mellon, noted that the turkey is better than other meat, though. Turkeys themselves are pretty efficient in getting themselves grown. It's the red meat. It's the cows that have all the trouble.
That's a whole nother war we're trying to fight, the war on red meat.
Yeah.
Fighting two wars here, folks.
I know, we got a lot going on here. So it's Thanksgiving next week.
Mm-hmm. Week from Thursday.
Again, it's good. See, now I like it. We have nothing to watch in the morning.
Yeah.
As I'm literally pouring bottles of wine into the turkey carcass.
Is that what you do?
I baste it. Yeah, with wine. But that's after it's already cooking. But at this point, it's very good. You can do wine or champagne. White wine or champagne. It's very good. Good kind of dries out the crust a little bit and gives a little bit of a tang to it. I got a ton of Thanksgiving hacks. And this is the reason I can't give up Thanksgiving. I got this one down. I got it worked out. Christmas, I can't figure out to save my life. I don't know what to get anybody. I don't know how to get anything for anybody. I mean, I can go on Amazon and the people are like, oh, you went on Amazon. Or I can go, you know, I can get something nice, you know, at like a jewelry store.
Wait, are you saying that people are judging you for buying them gifts?
Yeah. I get a lot of that.
How does that happen, really?
My mom once threw a wire cat at me that for some reason we bought her. I don't know what it had to do with.
A wire cat?
Wire. It was like a cat. It was like a little statue of a cat.
Does she like cats?
No. It turns out she doesn't like cats. That may have been the reason. And then the next thing you know is, Merry Christmas! Ow! Wait, hold on! Whole thing's very bad.
They all think there's some sort of underlying message when you give them these gifts.
But you see, for Thanksgiving, because it's not gifts, and then the people don't get mad about, oh, you didn't get me what I wanted, or you got, you know, too little or too much, whatever it is. You just sit down, you have what you hope is a decent meal, and you get that. And then there's this, you know, certain amount of drinking. And again, a certain amount of drinking is okay. Excessive drinking, not okay, because that's when all hell breaks loose. And there's football on TV the entire day and night now. So if you don't like your family, you can watch that. Right? Or if it gets weird and you just want to, you know, zone out, that's a good thing to do. It's not that you don't like them, but you know what I mean. All of a sudden they get on your last nerve. There are alternatives. The whole house is used in a way. You don't have to gather around a tree. You don't have to gather around some other, you don't have to all sit around and everybody watch everybody else open presents and you're like, I don't know, then you're going to watch somebody tear into a present and then complain. We don't need any of that. No, this is nice. This is about, you know, family time or not. And a lot of brown liquor. That is what Thanksgiving is about.
And pick up football with your old high school buddy.
Yeah, right. To go out because that's.
What time is the Bears game on?
11:30.
Oh, starts early. You gotta.
Yup.
Yeah, it's the early game on Thanksgiving.
See, that's dangerous for Thanksgiving because the drinking might often on a holiday, particularly, can coincide with a Bears game. So if people really started drinking at 10:30 in the morning, by the time you were eating dinner. Watch out.
It's true. But holidays, for me, it's an excuse to drink all day and not be judged. The second I wake up on a holiday, I'm drinking.
That's true.
Get a Bloody Mary going, maybe.
As long as you're not driving, you're good to go.
Right.
Just get a post up, as Kev likes to say.
Post up, crack a few beers.
Are you going over to the parents?
I think they are hosting it this year, yeah. Go to the parents, hang out with the cousins.
Go downstairs into the TV room.
In the TV room, play some pool.
Ma!
Bring me a turkey leg.
Ma, where are the Hot Pockets?
The turkey flavored hot pockets.
Oh, Kevin, please, you don't ruin your appetite for dinner. Ma, I'm still hungry! I'll be fine!
We all ate at 4 o'clock. What do you expect? I'm hungry now that it's 8.
See, everyone, we're big eaters, and everybody gets, like, antsy, so we normally try to eat early.
What time do you go?
What do you do, like, 2? Are you at 2 or 3 o'clock kind of
probably like
crowd?
3 get there. Yeah, we do. There's, like, already just tons of food going down. And then, like, the meal... yeah, I don't know, 4-ish maybe?
Yeah, this is the strangest thing about Thanksgiving to me is like all of a sudden we're like, okay, let's all eat really early.
It's supposed to be Thanksgiving dinner, but somehow it all gets early, moved earlier and earlier.
I think everybody gets a little antsy.
I think that's appropriate on Easter.
Have right? an early
Go
brunch.
Early. Yeah, yeah brunch or early, yeah. You know, like, there's a 3 o'clock dinner right. or whatever. I get that.
Sunday.
It said there's something, you know, somewhat religious about it, right? But on Thanksgiving... There's no reason to do it at 4 o'clock unless you want everybody out of the house by 6, which might actually be that might be the reason that we're doing it.
Well, it's the patience level too. I think everyone's like, "Come on, let's get to the
because it smells good, right?
Let's get to the main event here.
Eat, yeah.
We're all here to eat. and get fat and put on sweatpants. Let's go. Let's get it rolling. You know.
Hey, Lance, where'd you leave the bourbon?
So I'll probably,
I might invite myself over to all your people's.
That's fine. Things. It's always come. Very.
Let's tell leave my family behind.
Uh-huh.
It's always a very, very crowded household wherever the holiday is being held. So
yeah,
come. We'll throw the pigskin around row in the backyard. Then we'll come in and eat some turkey.
I got a hip pointer. I can't do it. All right. Well, just so you know. Okay. So the war. I'm going to wage the war to keep. I'm going to defend Thanksgiving against all comers.
I love it.
Save Thanksgiving.
Save Thanksgiving.
Hashtag save Thanksgiving.
And I'm gonna start cooking on the Wednesday. I'm gonna make my sides. I'm gonna get my turkeys properly thawed so that they are cookable. And I'm gonna make sure that I take every last piece of plastic out of them and donate them to the ocean where they will Aww. End up in the blowhole of a whale that we just named from the Shedd Aquarium.
So cruel.
I don't want it to be like that. I'm just telling you what the truth is. All right. Coming up in just a few minutes, chance to rip us off. For Blackhawks tickets, two chances today. Coming up in just a few minutes, and after 6:30 tonight, all thanks to our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. And tune in every Monday, all season long, to win a pair of Blackhawks tickets from our friends at Four Seasons. Okay. We have a song. The song has been written. It has been performed. It has been recorded. It is now here for us. Now, I just want to say that I'm not much of a song crier. Of course, I cried at Shallow because I knew what happened.
Jackson Maine
and the dog. But this, I shed a tear at. Ladies and gentlemen,
for God's sakes, I don't know where to go. How the hell can you score one touchdown? How is that possible? This guy Nagy and this guy Pace, my God.
Yeah, he should fire himself, OB. Be a man. Fire yourself.
OB watched the Bears get beat on Sunday night. Although Trubisky got near the end zone, it seemed miles away inside. Did Nagy not coach? Was it something he did? Did the plays not turn out right? Now our season is over, but we still got 8-5. And now I say, don't you wish we had Mahomes? And we even passed on his show. And now every Bears fan sings a sad, sad song. Don't you wish we had Mahomes?
Yes, I do. Now, the last time I checked, there's four downs when you're on offense. You have four downs. Not one time. I mean, as in one time did he try to throw the ball into the end zone and score a touchdown.
I heard Dan Hampton's voice blaring on the radio. Said Trubisky's got a bootleg. Turn around and make that throw. But I wonder if he knows. Does he ever see that blitz? And we should be in the playoffs now. And Pinero can't make a kick. That's why I say, don't you wish we had Mahomes? And we even passed on this show. And now every Bears fan sings a sad, sad song. Don't you wish we had Mahomes?
Let me just say something defensively. What the hell is he doing, Nagy, covering a wideout in the flat? Answer that question, you knucklehead!
Oh, that's great.
All right.
It does. It makes me feel just a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, my new favorite song.
Just able to laugh at it a little bit.
Sums it up.
It's enough distance that you can laugh a little.
No.
No?
No, no.
I've got a little bit.
No, I don't have enough distance.
No?
I don't. No.
Need a little more?
No.
mean, it's a complete disaster from top to bottom. And look, Ryan Pace needs to stop hiding. The guy doesn't talk to the press during the season. He has to, there's a lot of questions to answer here.
My favorite was during the Bears game when Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, as soon as Trubisky was out, but before we had the information that he was actually injured, they were basically saying, well, you know, he wasn't doing that well. It's not a long-term answer for the team. And, you know, kind of got to check this other guy out. Let's see what Chase can do. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. God.
Even they're on the bandwagon.
You know, it's funny. I don't, who's the guy, who's like the guy that looks like they went to China and had a Bob Costas made? And he's on the broadcast. He does the beginning. He does what Costas used to do, the beginning and the end of that broadcast.
Tirico?
No. Like it looks like he's 17 years old.
Are you talking about what it's like, Luke?
Is it Liam?
Liam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liam something.
That guy. So when that guy, before the game started, when that guy said, well, you know, my money is really on L.A. here, and it's over. You know, whichever team wins, you know, they're still alive. If you lose, you're out. You're done. And then there's no reason to believe the Bears can win this game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
it was, like, hopeless before it began.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened.
7 points, as Obi pointed out, is the grand total for the Bears yesterday.
What did the Rams score again?
17.
So, okay. Seven so more plus than the six Bears. That were missed still wasn't enough.
So that's how you win the game. Now,
well, I was thinking of the missed kicks. I was trying to add that.
Well, that was, it would have been 13. It would have been 13, 17-13.
And you never know. I mean, they put together a great opening drive, and it's a missed field goal. It's like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's working.
No. Oh, no. No. And I'm going to be singing that, Don't You Wish We Had Mahomes Now, for like the rest.
I know. Earworm.
Yeah, it is.
Who knew Mahomes could rhyme with Deshaun? Perfect.
Ryan did. You figured it out a way.
It works.
All right. OB is going to join us coming up, and he is going to tell us what his thoughts are. And, well, I think we kind of already know, but I like to hear them because it makes me feel better, too, because at least somebody else is mad. Here is Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and the skies? Well, it's the Road Canon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. And Pat, No.
Pat.
I got
you're thinking Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Pat Tomasulo?
Patrick Mahomes. Pat Tomasulo and Patrick Mahomes were on the Super Celebrity Hotline. It's actually, Ed Obradovich is on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
And good evening.
Good, yeah. What's so good about it, OB?
Nice to be alive.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Count your blessings.
In the greatest country on planet Earth.
All right.
Amen.
All right, I'll take that. And the Hawks are playing well. So I got that going for me.
There you go.
Let's, well, now that you've had some time to sleep on it and think about it, I'd like you to explain how we're going to make the playoffs this year, OB. Go ahead and go.
I mean, is there a shot? Yes, there is. I mean, but, you know, it just has, and for that to happen, Ro, I mean, there's got to be a complete philosophy change offensively. Totally and completely different. We start out, we go to L.A., we know it's going to be a hard win if we can get it out there. My God, we start out three times. I think we're on the 30-yard line one time, 29, and I think, again, around the 30-yard line. So you're down there three different times to start the game. And the last time I checked, when you have the ball, that's first and 10, you have four downs. Okay? Now, the red zone is the 20-yard line, and that's what they call it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the 30-yard line, you've got a lot of room for your wideouts to get separation, and there's a lot of passing room. Not one time did we try to go into the end zone and score a touchdown. We had 12 plays. 12. We're a 4-5 team. We're struggling. We're playing away. And we get down into that area. And again, I cannot say it enough. Not one time do we try to score a touchdown on three different tries, which comes to 12 plays. Now, you tell me this head coach Nagy knows what he's doing.
No, I can't tell you that.
That is not common sense. That is sheer stupidity. You got to take what it gives you. You got to understand the situation. Where are you in this league? You're fighting for your life. You got 53 players out there giving it everything they can, and you're giving them misdirection. And there's nobody going to tell me different.
Well, the one thing that I will say is the defense did show up, right? The defense played well. The defense, there were takeaways. The Los Angeles Rams, much like the New Orleans Saints and a couple of other, the Los Angeles Chargers, were trying to give the game to the Bears. The amount of generosity that these opposing teams have had this year is overwhelming. I appreciate it. I know it's the holiday season. But we couldn't take advantage of any of it. And it's so galling. I will ask you this. Do you think that Mitchell Trubisky was crying on the sideline? Because I do. I think he was crying. And there's no crying in football.
Well, funny you should ask that question. Dan and I, we looked at this, and there he is with that head embrace that they do so well. And I looked at Dan and looked at me. I said, Dan, is that kid crying? I said, is he crying? And to me, it looked like it crying. And to Dan Hampton, it looked like he was crying too.
Some very questionable play calling again from Matt Nagy, to your point, OB. I'm thinking about that 3rd-and-1 where he called an option, and we found out now that I think that was in the third quarter. At that point, Matt Nagy had found out about Mitch Trubisky's hip injury and how it had slowed him. One, why would you call it an option play and have your quarterback run? Two, why would you call that play?
That's why
on
I don't
third
believe
and
it.
Short? It's pretty clear.
There's a little more to that play. When that play, if you looked at it, the ace back, he was 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Not the usual 6 or 7. He was 10. The other thing that wasn't so smart about it, he runs an option play with the quarterback into the short side of the field.
Yep.
I mean, the play was doomed to fail.
Right.
It was totally and completely doomed to fail.
I mean, he's got to hand off play calling duties, right? I mean, there's no question anymore to Mark Helfrich, the offense coordinator, or to someone.
I think Mitch. You get to Mitch. Let Mitch do it.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, because I'll tell you something. You know, I mentioned there's a lot of things that are going to start really, really going bad here. You know, we're at home here. Come the Giants, they won 2 games. Oh my God, could you imagine if we lose to the Giants? Oy vey. And then after that, then starts the real hard play from week to week to week. And I'll tell you what, again, our defense, it's there, it's still working, it's still available to make a run at getting to the Super Bowl, but offensively we have absolutely no chance, none whatsoever, because basically of the game planning, offensive game planning, and Nagy calling the plays. It's mind-boggling. And you know what, Pace, Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, there was a big article in the Tribune, you know, it's like, why did they draft Trubisky, you know? And they asked Pace, and he didn't want to be interviewed for that column for that on Sunday. Here's the funny thing about it. Actually, it's tearful. Pace, in his analyzing Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Mitchell Trubisky. And these are his words that I'm going to tell you.
All right, here we go.
All right. What he saw in Mitchell Trubisky compared to the other two, not accuracy, he had sharp accuracy. No, he doesn't. Ability to read defenses. That's one of his big faults. Do you remember seeing him? Lucky he gets the main receiver. He can't find the second or third receiver. That's not true. Poise under pressure. You ever see him in the backfield with his herky-jerky jumping around? And then his excellent footwork in the pocket. Those are the things that five things that he thought that Trubisky had over the other people.
Pace must have only seen the North Carolina game against Coastal Carolina. That would have been the only game he could have seen where that would have actually happened.
Bro, listen, there's a kid, Marquise Williams, again, who was the starting quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky couldn't beat him out. He was a starting quarterback. He played behind him his sophomore and his junior year. Marquise Williams didn't even get drafted in the NFL, and he couldn't beat him out. He played 1 year. They went 8-5. They lost their last game. They got into the Sun Bowl, and they lost that game. That's a fact.
Maybe Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa will fall to the Bears in the second round after suffering that hip injury. Maybe the Bears can find somebody in the draft. Would you bench Trubisky, OB, and go to Chase, even if Trubisky is healthy?
No, you know what? I'm not quite so sure that the kid is hurt. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think a lot of people are wondering that. But
I have a hip replacement, and I couldn't tell you how many hip pointers I had. You, if they say he has a hip pointer, if there's something wrong with his hip, you're not running around out there trying to skate people and leaning back and throwing into a pass and doing all that. You are not doing that, my friend.
I think a lot of people were concerned, too, because there was no medical staff that seemed, when they did the cutaway, he was just standing on the sideline. There was nothing
right,
kind of attending to him. And then you heard Al Michaels and Chris Collingsworth, and with the lack, there was a vacuum of information. They were just kind of speculating. Well, he got benched. They're taking him out because of his play quality, and they're putting Daniel in. And turned out that later, we were surprised. What was like 18 minutes later, the news came that no, he's got this.
Well, they said he couldn't sit down on the bench, and he was sitting on the bench when they the whole time.
There was, I tell you what, I'm not buying what they're saying. You know, and I could very well be wrong, but I played the game long enough. I played with a bunch of guys that won a world championship, and what I saw with him and what he did, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'm a little suspect on that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I feel bad for the kid because, you know what, he was put into a bad situation. He was not prepared to be he wasn't prepared to be the number two draft pick, traded up from the number three to the number two.
And he wasn't ready for the Chicago Bears and our fandom and the whole pressure.
Media and all that here. I mean, this is just, this kid was not the right choice. But
you're absolutely correct.
OB, we got to run.
There's nowhere that Pace can hide.
No.
I'd just like to say this real quickly here. Pace, he will get fired. Okay? I'll guarantee you, he will never become a general manager of a football team in the National League again. Never.
Thank you, OB. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Ed Obradovich.
Thanks, OB.
Talk to you next week. We got the news coming in, too.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Do this.
Time now to go to
number 5.
I can get this thing fixed.
It's sticking a little bit today.
My number box. I can't wait for the Mr. Rogers movie to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I want to change the numbers to Mr. Rogers' numbers. Because he would always, what are we going to count? Meow, 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 meow. That movie's creeping me out already. Can I just say, I know this is not number 5, but can I just say that uh-huh. I noticed in the commercial for that movie,
uh-huh.
there's like a sex scene in that movie.
With Mr. Rogers?
No. Oh. No, luckily it's the...
Somebody on the set?
It's in the...
The reporter on him?
That's the guy from The Americans, right? Isn't that Kerry Russell's real husband?
What's so funny? That we're watching football over the week with some friends, and that popped up, that ad, and half the room went, oh, I can't wait. And the other half went, God, this thing creeps me out.
It's like a
divisive trailer.
I know. Who knew that Mr. Rogers was going to be as polarizing? I don't know. All right. Anyway, speaking of polarizing, Mike Pompeo is in the news, and he was in a press conference today, and he was talking about the State Department's position on the Israeli settlements and that they believe that they are not a violation of international law. That's been a question. Secretary of State was then confronted with criticism that he has not chosen to speak up publicly in defense of his own employees who are being attacked by the president.
I'm happy to talk about Ukraine policy today. I'm not going to get into the issues surrounding the Democrat impeachment inquiry. Just not going to do it today. It is worth noting that Ambassador Yanovich's departure preceded the arrival of Bill Taylor. there's some ideas out there that somehow this change was designed to enable some nefarious purpose. You should all just look at the simple fact that it was Bill Taylor that replaced Ambassador Yovanovitch, who, in each case, has been driving towards the appropriate Ukraine policy, which I'm happy to talk about. I'm proud of what this administration has done with respect to Ukraine.
Well, be a little careful about that. That may come back to haunt you. I'm proud about this administration has done with Ukraine.
That could come up again.
Yeah, that probably could. I mean, maybe, if he's talking about for the last couple of weeks, yeah, maybe. it's going to be a little harder. Going to be a little harder. And I get it. And it's interesting because there's been this narrative today. Washington Post did the story about about why it is. They're going after Pompeo pretty heavy. And there's a story that leaked that from the New York Times over the weekend that Pompeo is on the president's poop list and that Pompeo's getting X'd out in meetings, and the president's mad at him. They had a dinner that he got invited to, and the president just like unloaded him. I think it was actually a lunch, got unloaded on him. And so it's, you know, one of those deals. And he may run for the Senate in Kansas. You may want to jump in there. If I were him, I'd be doing that immediately.
get the paperwork done.
Getting right out of that situation. So, but well, we'll see. We'll see how this all goes. All right. I'm going to have to wait here to get to the four. I don't want to give this short shrift here because
there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Matt Nagy works his way in.
He
talking
does.
About Mitchell Trubisky. I'm going to tell you something right now. Mm-hmm. That scene on the sideline.
It was weird.
Where they're holding each other by the head.
And they were in. They're like face to face, like uber close. He's got the, what those call card, what they play cards?
Yeah, he still manages to hide whatever he's saying with his face with the play calling card.
Right, with the, it's a placemat now, right? And they put the placemat up. I'm going to start doing that at dinner. I'm just going to take the placemat and put it up.
At Thanksgiving.
Cav, you and I should do that.
Yeah,
no, you and I should go to dinner and then I just grab
right
your
here.
Head and I just put the placemat over it
Coach
so nobody
protocol.
Knows what we're really doing.
Forehead
yeah.
to forehead.
Yeah.
I think at Thanksgiving, sidebar conversations with individuals
really
at the
table.
Really
good idea, yeah.
Come here. Talk to you.
And forehead to forehead.
I know it's. Right. It's
oh,
that's
you know what?
The part that's weird to me.
I feel you.
Maybe
are you
hear.
Feeling this? I'm feeling this.
Pass the
shut up.
Pass the
shut potatoes. Up, you two.
Although in the stadium, I guess you can't hear. Right? This is why that's happening.
It wasn't real loud in that stadium. what was there to be loud about?
Los Angeles people aren't even real fans.
No, it was Bears fans predominantly.
Really
when the
was.
Bears did something, it was very loud. Lauren Lapke can tell us about the roads and the skies right now.
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News' Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, Sarah Jindra, and it's all for the Thanksgiving Day Parade, Chicago's Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. Checking in at...
Number four.
Mm-hmm. Chicago Bears coach Matt Nagy says that the decision to pull Mitchell Trubisky had zero to do with his play, solely because he had a hip pointer, an injury sustained in the second quarter, and that he's really tough and he wanted to stay in the game. And
the thing that you love about Mitch is that he's extremely tough. I love that about him. But at the same time, you know, he's at a point where you could see that it was painful. I sat there and I told him, I said, listen, man, we appreciate your toughness. We appreciate you being as tough as you can possibly be and want to stay in the game. But I need to be able to make a decision, because there's a fine line of that pain or being injured to where it affects how you play or decisions that you make because of being injured. And I think that's where we got to. And again, he's a tough blue collar kid, and he's a fighter, but I wanted him to know that I fully support. If he's in pain and it hurts to play and too much to where it's affecting our team, I need to make a decision. And that's exactly what that was.
Is Mitch his long lost son or something? It's just like the way he talks about him is so odd to me.
23andMe, they finally figured it out.
It's like, I just know, like, the way he winks his left eye a little bit, it means he's injured. And I just know when I saw it, then it's like, what?
They've got a connection, like few you see, right?
Right.
Quarterback and
oh, it's going great.
Coach.
Oh, spectacular.
Just the way they talk to each other.
Now, they've won four games this season, right? Mm-hmm. One of which Mitch didn't play in. That's the it's important to note. Was it one or two that he didn't play in?
One win, right? Because the London game they didn't win.
Because
Minnesota, they won because he came out in the first series of downs.
Right.
Yeah, he's tough. Yeah, I'm sure he's tough. I don't play the game. I don't know. I'm not worried. You know, it's
like,
gotta
be tough to play.
Yeah, this is not my problem. My problem is he doesn't have the requisite skills to play the game of football at the highest level.
Not that we've seen.
And they gave up the number two draft choice by trading away the number three draft choice. And, oh God. And they also gave up the number one, the first round draft picks for the following 2 years, including this upcoming draft year, for which we are not going to have a first round pick. Not a first round pick. No pick.
Nope.
Okay.
But that's on Ryan Pace. And as you pointed out, Kevin, he hasn't been giving interviews to anyone.
Hey, he hides over there at Hallis Hall. It's like, why don't you come face the music?
And that's on the Khalil Mack trade. I understand that. It's not to do with Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, it just ain't right. There's nothing about this that's right. There's nothing even remotely, not close to not right about it. It's totally wrong. And we were supposed to be good this year.
I know we were. I remember when we had a lot of hope. I remember that hope.
These teams are basically trying to hand... It's almost like they're playing football with a fourth grade class. And, you know, like when you see like they always show those promos and those PSAs of the players going to some like high school or whatever, and they're playing with kids or like grade school.
Right.
And they're throwing a Nerf ball at them. Uh-huh. That's kind of what's been going on!
Number three.
Oh. Why didn't I read ahead?
I was going to say, I don't think it gets better.
And now it's going to, Colin Kaepernick. Now, I got to tell you something. And I was, you know, I was sort of like, all right. I'm starting to think, yeah, maybe Colin Kaepernick, somebody could take a look at him. We'll see what goes on. I was even thinking the Bears should take a look at him. And now the Bears might have to take a look at him. But it was really weird what happened here on Saturday.
So weird. Beyond.
1 hour. 1 hour before. He was supposed to do this tryout or this, you know, whatever it is, workout sanctioned by the NFL. He moved it an hour away to another place. What's going on with him? What is the idea? What is that?
He said he didn't trust the league what to do right by him, so he wanted to control the environment.
He wanted to have cameras. His agent, Jeff Nally, and attorney Ben Mizlis, said that Kaepernick had been denied being able to have his own film crew. And then Kaepernick said this.
Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people.
The
NFL was telling him they could only have their crew to film. Nobody else.
Look, I was all for his messaging and what he was trying to do and all that. But this is a perfect example of why a team wouldn't sign him and had nothing to do with a political sort of statement, but because of this whole circus it has become. And that's not a good move by Kaepernick. Come on,
no.
An hour before? Like 25 teams were going to make the trip there. I think only 8 of them ended up making it out to the high school because, I mean, if you're a team, aren't you like, forget this?
Yeah.
Really?
Makes him seem less reliable.
Less reliable.
Demanding. But he doesn't trust the NFL is what he's saying.
Okay.
To do right by him, and that the last minute he found out he couldn't have his camera crews. Why not?
I'm telling you right now, there are teams that need him.
No doubt.
Yes.
I could think of one. I'm not now staring out the window in the direction of a stadium that team might play in. But I'm just saying that I could think of at least one NFL team that could use a quarterback, even as a backup, backup quarterback, backup, backup, backup quarterback. Because right now, the Bears, it should be noted, if Mitchell Trubisky can't go because of his hip pointer.
Did you use those air quotes on purpose?
Hip pointer. If he can't go because of that, then they only got one quarterback. And I'm sorry, you can't have Tariq Cohen do everything. He can't throw the ball to himself and then get smushed by a guy.
When is Tom Brady available?
I bet you that Nagy would still go with Mitch, even if we had Tom Brady. I have so much confidence.
Oh, God, you know how to rub it in, don't you?
Number two.
In New York, nearly two dozen Delphi University students made it a full week without their cell phones. As part of a college course intended to break the powerful addiction of the smartphone itself, students couldn't believe they made it.
Everything's perfect right now. Having a lot better relationships. It's just a lot more like stress-free environment. No worries about social media.
I think it's really like refreshing and like relaxing. So I was able to fall asleep like a lot easier. Doing homework was 100% easier.
I was just more appreciative of everything around me, and like I was more aware.
Like sit at the dinner table and have a conversation,
and like couldn't get rid of that habit though.
That's okay. That professor,
it's a good exercise.
The professor says she's very glad that she's getting positive results with her experiment.
Are the conveniences worth it? The fact that no one can focus, that my students can't sleep, they feel bad about themselves because of social media. I mean, the list could just go on and on.
Yeah, that's true. The list can go on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a full week?
That's a long time. Think about as an adult.
I would love to get rid of my phone for a week.
Yeah, me too. I would love to throw my phone out of this window right now. This is what I would like to do.
At Soldier Field.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I would like to throw the ball. I'd like to throw my phone to Tariq Cohen and then have him catch the phone and then be smushed, which is what happens with Tariq Cohen, except on the one play where he got away. Is it possible? I would like to actually put my phone in. Maybe they could use it as the hip pad for Mitchell Trubisky on Sunday.
Like a protector?
Yeah. On Sunday, are they back here Sunday, Kev? Where are they?
Yeah, they host the Giants.
The Giants. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Those screen covers are pretty good.
I'm going to take my screen cover off.
Oh.
I don't want to see my phone anymore. I'm just done. All right. And finally,
number one.
Referee just like Mike, looking for a bright light, seeing what your life like, riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight bike, stepping on the gas.
That's Kanye West at Joel Osteen's church in Houston. How about that? That was a weird moment. That was not a weird moment.
Well, he was there because Kim Kardashian was visiting the man on death row, who, Mr. Reed, right? Who is there? She has been speaking out about justice in that case, that he's wrongfully accused, wrongfully convicted. So they stopped by the church, the mega church.
Yes, he did. To discuss his love of Jesus and how God has made the most perfect entertainer of all times.
Jesus has won the victory. Because now I told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now, the greatest artist that God has ever created is now working for him.
What? I think we'll just leave it there. It's the best thing we could possibly do.
The top five at five.
Ah, the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGM. Just trying to calm myself from the horror that I have just had to endure. How much more Nagy do I have to talk about? There's nothing left. It's over. It's over. Can I just tell you that we're doing that Christmas show? Can I tell you that?
Yeah, let's turn our attention to that. That's a fun thing. Happiness.
It's the Carnarvon Express, and it is pulling into Tinley Park Convention Center on Friday, December 6th. All brought to you by American Sale, presented by American Sale. Broadcasting live from 3 to 5:30, and then after 5:30, it's a concert with the Ides of March. They're going to be there. They've played a dozen of these shows with us over the last number of years. And they are amazing. If you've not seen the Ides of March live.
They're so fun live.
Yeah,
really put on a show, talks to the audience. I mean, he's special.
Yes, he is special. And he's got purple hair. But somehow, he's literally been doing this as long as I have been alive. The Ides of March, I just did the Ides of March 55th anniversary show up at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. And I realized, like, they were already touring by the time I was born. And that makes that, yeah, that's something. And they still look young and they sound great.
They do.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. I think he's
young at heart too. When you talk to him,
he's been bitten by a vampire.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No,
really?
He's that.
Last time I saw him,
or he's Benjamin Button or some weird thing like that. It's probably a curse. He's probably that. He could be 600 years old.
And
probably.
He still fits into the same rock star outfits from back in the day.
That's
How
true.
About that?
That is that. That's its own great talent.
I'd love to see his closet. I mean, the stuff he's
monochromatic, though. Everything is purple.
There's a lot of purple.
Yeah, I don't know.
Top hats and sparkly purple outfits.
I mean, it was purple before Prince. Prince is essentially, Prince would have been 60, right?
Go
I
ahead.
Think now, if that, somewhere around 60. I mean, Prince was 4 years old when they started touring. it's arguable that Prince stole Jim Peterick's style. Anyway, separate issue. What we would like you to do when you come to this show, and you will come to the show, there are no tickets. You can come right in, drop off a toy, hang out. There will be food. There will be a bar or two or six that will accommodate you. It's just I'm basically inviting everybody to our big Christmas party. That's what it's going to be.
Sweet.
That's how we want to look at it. There will be sweet treats from Sweet Alley's Gluten Free Bakery.
Those are amazing.
We've got Ed Obradovich joining us. That's a big deal.
Nice.
That's
OB's coming.
Yep. And
he'd make a good Santa.
There's nothing like OB as Santa Claus. Oh boy. Oh boy. All the toys will be broken. So just bring a toy for Toys for Tots. That's the only thing we ask you to do to come in, right? Unwrapped toy or game. And you can also bring cash or a check for the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. You can do that, too. And we've got the Marines there that are accepting all of that. In the meantime, if you can't make it out to the show, you can drop toys off at our friends at Apple Chevrolet, 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park. They're one of our sponsors as well, along with Architect of Chicagoland. There's going to be a special Architect deck out there, too. It's going to be kind of cool. And the Hilton Hotels of Chicago are going to also be giving away stays around the holidays for folks.
Oh, well, giveaways.
Vacation.
Will there be adult pops there? Adult beverages?
There will be the actual Carnarvon wagon.
Awesome.
And the Carnarvon wagon will be passing in review as being led by United States Marines. There's nothing quite like it. It'll bring a tear to your eye. You know, there's a lot of pageantry to this.
There is. It's a hoot.
Yeah. It's something. Don't break the bottles. Don't break the bottles. Excuse me, Staff Sergeant, don't break the bottles.
Don't let OB near there.
No. Oh, God, I don't want to throw in anything.
You can't handle all the delicate merchandise.
All right, so that's, as we learned this, that is very, very close to the expressway to I-80 there, I-80 just off Harlem. So you can find that. You can find the Tinley Park Convention Center on Friday the 6th of December. Do not miss it.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be loud. It's going to be exciting. There's plenty of seating and there's plenty of room. It's good. We've designed this to be comfortable because last year we did it a little tighter of a space, and you know there's some people like, what are you doing? I'm bringing toys. What are you doing to me? So we've made this a rather luxurious experience for people.
Awesome.
That's the thing. That's how we're going to do it. All right, coming up in just a few moments here, I would like to share with you. There's a very interesting story that has broken today about your use of the internet to try to cure yourself of all ills.
Ah, the old WebMD.
Yeah. And
I'm
how
guilty of that.
Wrong you are when you use the internet to do that. The rate of misdiagnosis is profound.
Well, you think of everything because the symptoms are so general sometimes.
Well, right. Everything ends up with toe cancer, right? If they, no matter what you do, no matter when you're looking at it, you're like, oh my God.
You either have a common cold or you're dying.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
exactly how
it goes.
So we're going to explain where that pitfall actually lies. But first, Lauren Lapica is going to tell us about the traffic and the weather. Clocks fell back. We are in the teeth of November, going toward December. A lot of stress on people. And the effect of depression and seasonal affective disorder can be real. Anesthesiologist Dr. Balanandra is using ketamine to treat major depression. Ketamine is safe in lower doses, quickly relieves depression and even chronic pain, can provide relief from anxiety and PTSD. Called one of the greatest advancements in mental health. In fact, Cleveland Clinic ranked in its top 10 medical innovations list. Many antidepressants aren't effective or have bad side effects. Ketamine treatments from Dr. Nandra could reduce or eliminate your need for those drugs. Most people find relief in just a few hours or days. Treatment involves 6 IV infusions over 2 weeks in a private, monitored setting. Schedule your free no obligation consultation by calling 844-9-IV-MEDS. That's 844, the number 9, IV-MEDS, or visit KetamineChicago.com. K-E-T-A-M-I-N-E is how you spell that. KetamineChicago.com. All right. Speaking roughly thereof, let's talk about this particular piece of information that if you've been using WebMD or the internet, or just, God forbid you're using Google, because I think WebMD at least, that's somewhat legitimate. You know, it's funny. I should mention this. You know, I come from a long line of hypochondriacs.
I know you do.
And medical personnel. You know, I had a lot of doctors and dentists in my family and stuff like that.
Were they hypochondriacs too?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they can be.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Several doctors who are, yeah.
And you know, my mother is patient zero, essentially, for everything. I mean, she is one of the great hypochondriacs of the 20th and now 21st century. I think she holds the title in both. But it sort of passed a lot. I had it for a long time, still kind of have it. My daughter, I think we've you know, passed it along through the generations. When my daughter turned 18, she got some money that she was, you know, the family likes to do a thing where they pass on. It's just a couple thousand dollars to just invest.
Oh, that's
just
a smart
trying
idea.
To teach investment. Like, if you could, here's $2,000. If you could put it somewhere, where would you put it?
And then what did she put?
WebMD.
Oh!
She invested in WebMD.
Wow.
So I'm afraid that has happened.
It was top of mind, so
yes.
That's where she put it.
But turns out that the internet provides us with unbridled access to information.
Sure does.
Right? That would have just been a fantasy decades ago, right? I mean, it's amazing what you could do. But a recent poll showed that 2,000 Americans, and of 2,000 Americans, that 43% have convinced themselves that they are suffering from a serious disease after Googling the symptoms. 43%.
Well, I think
2 out of 5.
I think, you know, when you're coming down with something or there's something weird, your body's doing something it didn't do before, you got something, I go to Google, don't you? You go to Google.
Yeah, well, and also saves you a possibly expensive trip to the doctor.
Right. Because
there's like, maybe
pictures
if I can
or something that looks similar to what you have or symptoms that sound similar, and then you're like, okay, I might have figured something out here. Doctors hate that, by the way, when you bring
oh.
that stuff in. You just don't even want to mention it.
Doesn't even begin to...
So I saw on WebMD
those
types of conversations I find that doctors don't love.
I always just run from potential health problems. I just ignore them. Like, that pain will go away eventually. I'll be just fine.
It's turning green, Kevin. It's green.
It feels like a dagger is in my gut, but I'll be fine.
Is it supposed to burn?
Just take some Pepto. I'll be fine.
Pepto.
I don't know. Pepto, NyQuil, whatever.
Shot of whiskey. Whatever.
That's kind of how it goes.
It's sort of universal.
It's my thing. Let's just start in the morning. It's coffee, Pepto, liquor, NyQuil. Coffee, Pepto, liquor, NyQuil.
Any salads
Pepto,
in there?
No.
Okay.
This is a survey commissioned by Let's Get Checked. Wow. Did at least find that not everyone immediately turns to the internet for medical health. 51% said they still consult a doctor as their first course of action. So there's at least that. That's true. But a quarter of Americans do not have a primary care physician. And another 6 in 10 admit that they actively avoid doctor's offices.
Well, one of the things is the expense, you know, the out-of-pocket expense of going to a doctor, even for a routine thing. It can be priced. I mean, you can spend a lot that way, even if you have insurance.
I just went to go get my flu shot today.
Yeah.
Because the flu is... It is starting to pop. And I had like a cold for like 3 weeks, and you can't really get the flu shot while you have a cold. So, because it just exacerbates it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's when people think that they, oh my God, I got sick from the flu shot. No, you're already sick with something. And then when the flu shot knocks down your antibodies for a couple of days while it's, you know, it's realigning to create this replication, you start to feel sick, right? So, I finally felt better. First day, felt better when. Boom. Went to go try to get a flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Walgreens.
Yep.
Went to Walgreens at 1:30. Come to find out that Walgreens takes a break from 1:30 to 2. Does anybody know this?
I know that.
I do very well.
Yeah. They have like on the phone when you call them to renew a prescription or something, they always tell you their break time.
Yeah, they break from 1:30 to 2.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. Why do they break into
lunch?
But don't they have other people that can't keep like a skeleton staff on for half an hour?
You would think. I went there one day. I was so sick a couple weeks ago. Finally got an antibiotic. Went to pick it up. Closed.
1:30 to 2.
Yep.
And they have the whole thing. So I go in there. It's 1:28, actually. 1:28.
Ooh, that burns.
Oh, I know. Maybe that's why I went. Yeah. it was a separate issue. That was in aisle 6. I go... To the little window, and I go, okay, I'd like to get a flu shot. Because I'd gone to this, it's the fancy Walgreens downtown at State
the
Randolph.
The one that sells sushi and lots of food.
It's a nice one, right? It's right across from
food counters.
From my morning job. So I go over there, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to do this. This is all good. This is, you know, this is, I feel good. And then the guy's like, I'm sorry, you know, you're going to have to come back after 2 o'clock if you want to do this. And I'm like, well, then how long will it take me? Well, that could take 45 minutes. I'm like, what?
Oh.
So I'm because I'd done this before there, and you just walk in, and you're in and out in 15 minutes.
Easy breezy. I thought it was.
I had to go to a CVS. I had to go drive back to my neighborhood, go to a CVS, and they were very lovely at the CVS. I got in and I got out. Although at the CVS, they didn't have like a special room. They just put up like, it was like that tent in the NFL now.
Some guy's just holding like a big sheet in front of you.
No one look. Casey screams. Don't look at him. Don't make eye contact. This one might scream.
Then I passed out. I fell out. They had me sit on the blood pressure machine. They moved me over to the little bench with the blood pressure machine. And go sit there, sir. And I'm like, okay.
Did you rest your arm on the little blood pressure machine arm?
And then I'm like, okay, well, I stood up. And she goes, no, sit down, sir, in case you fall down. I'm like, why am I going to fall down? And then, you know, they pull out the needle, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'll sit down. I'm good. Totally painless, totally easy, and so worth it, because they had their first pediatric death yesterday.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah. I mean, this is the flu is it's a very bad strain this year. And I'll be honest, what I'm told by medical experts is that this particular vaccine that's out right now,
mm-hmm.
Is not a perfect match to the thing that was in Australia that was actually killing people left and right. But what they did find is people who had the flu shot, specifically what they call the quadrivalent, that's got 4 strains in it, had a much better rate of not getting it, but also having really mild cases of the flu as opposed to the serious cases of the flu. So that's the reason to get it too. It not only because it boosts your immunity, so mm-hmm. that the flu virus doesn't replicate as quickly in your system, and then that's what really takes you down and can cause. And the one thing about this particular flu strain this year is that, especially in people who have immunocompromised, in any, you know, they're older patients or they're just people that have other underlying health problems, is that there is a really bad pneumonia that could be associated with this flu. So that's why it's worth getting the flu shot. And the flu is not, you feel sick to your stomach. That is not the influenza that you're getting a shot for. That's a totally different thing. This is like, oh, I've had the flu. You know, we get sick. No, that's not it. If you've had influenza, you know you've had influenza, and it's a killer. Right? I mean, 26 million people died.
Yeah, my daughter had the flu, influenza B last year, and it, or the, I'm sorry, earlier this year, right during that polar vortex time, and it was brutal. You just see your lifeless kid. It's just, it was horrible.
So
how much has set you back to get the flu shot?
I gave him my insurance card.
Okay.
And then there was, it took longer for them to try to figure out to process the insurance than it did to get the shot. That's always fun. When you go in,
it's
and
like
you're
trying to see if the card goes through.
Exactly.
It's like that feeling when you're not sure you paid all your bills.
I carry a lot of insurance cards. Yeah, I'm handing them my my Allstate. This is for my Chevy Blazer from Apple Chevrolet.
I always love when I hear the totals, because you never know in healthcare, really, if you're going to be, what the number's going to be.
Yeah.
Flu shots may be a little more common, but other stuff, you're like, well, what's the bill?
It could be something. All right, but it was, if you have insurance, it wasn't anything. I don't think the flu shot's all that expensive if you want to do it without.
No, I don't think so either.
All right, we've got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in two. I'm playing this for a reason.
What's the reason?
NASA has just released an asteroid alert.
Is it heading our way?
Yeah.
We had a good run.
Yeah. Scientists give exact date rock size of Great Pyramid will hit the Earth. JF1. No relation. It's 420 feet across, predicted to collide with the planet on May 6th, 2022.
At least we'll get the holidays in.
This will really kill Thanksgiving.
That is the date that Black Panther 2 is coming out.
Oh.
Yeah. I want to see them. Hopefully we'll be able to see a screening before that. I don't want to go before Black Panther, before I get to see that. Woo! That's based on a current trajectory. It would strike with a force of 230 kilotons. 15 times larger than the Hiroshima bomb.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember we were delivering the Hiroshima bomb. Sorry. Why does he always pop up?
I don't know.
What's wrong with him?
He seems to have been involved with a lot of historical moments over the years.
And he's never really has a story that isn't dark.
Right. Key contributor to these moments.
Very dark.
We were heading on back. Transpac. They didn't, because we were carrying the Hiroshima bomb, they didn't tell anybody where we were. Scientists say the JF1 were to hit a populated area, it would wipe out an entire city instantly. Well, this is good news. Who put this story in there?
So it wouldn't completely destroy all of Earth, just like
no.
That. Okay.
Do
no.
we know where yeah, exactly
can we pick which
be?
City no. it is?
No.
Can we know whereabouts we should be?
Which
hemisphere,
know.
Maybe?
Obviously, stay out of America.
They warned that even if it splashed down in the remotest part of the Pacific Ocean, it would cause devastating tsunamis and a nuclear winter that would severely impact life on Earth.
Oh, my God. Why are you laughing? This is terrifying.
I don't... What?
This is why you just got to live fast,
what
take chances.
From?
You never
what?
Know when an asteroid's going to come.
What is the... Yeah, that's a good point. Kev, I'm with you on that. What? It's going great for me. Who's this from? Where'd you get this?
Where'd you get it?
Express UK.
Well-known asteroid.
Yeah.
Source.
Express UK. I thought that was a clothing store. see here. The space agency also said the probability of the rock colliding with east is low. I don't know what that even means.
So
NASA says that Sentry is a highly automated collision monitoring system that continually scans the most current asteroid catalog for possibilities of future impact on Earth for the next 100 years. So, well, that's good news.
That is.
But the problem is they found something.
Wow. What are you going
to
do?
So we have some time to, develop something to go and blast it. I mean, we all grew up with the game Asteroids. Mm-hmm. I did. I loved that. Yeah. How have we not developed our own little doot-doot-doot-doot-doot? We have.
Get Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck on this.
Get NASA, them on that.
NASA believes, they buried those SOBs from the Express UK. They buried the lead.
Okay. Is it a hopeful lead? Or is it something we want to hear?
It's a 1% chance it's going to hit us.
Oh, wow, there you go. That's still a chance.
It's a small,
breathe.
But they said it's a small but appreciable chance.
How much of a warning time will we have for this?
Go home. Hug your family. This is your president.
Well, this is a good opportunity, by the way, for Morgan Freeman to run for president.
Right, because if an asteroid is about to take out a city, he needs to be in the White House.
Yeah, absolutely.
To direct the plan and
just his calming voice in times of crises.
But even hearing him say that, it's like, okay, we're fine.
Yeah, that's he's in charge.
Morgan Freeman's around. Okay.
Time to be one with your maker.
All right.
Who's that guy? He's ruining my day. Saying things that are positive.
Okay.
So, NASA has a near-Earth monitoring system, so they can they you know, look out for these things and handle them.
Right. That's what
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in good hands.
There's a mission too, a deflection mission called the Asteroid Impact Deflection Assessment, which does try to redirect smaller things that are coming at us. I don't know how they do that.
Can they not redirect bigger things?
I don't know. This is the things the size of a pyramid. And I, you know what? Last time I looked at a pyramid, it was sizable. Lauren, what's happening on the roads? Don't tell me about the skies, though.
Months after 9/11, a pound of cyanide was found in a CTA tunnel. The man responsible, Dr. Chaos. Now, he's out of prison. Chasing Chaos. It's a WGN-TV investigative report tonight at 9.
Dr. Chaos is the name of my physician.
I think your patient, Chaos. That's what, really, what's happening?
Anytime I walk in there and he goes, oh my God, look at these blood results. A.B. Stoddard joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. We're really glad to have you, A.B. I just want to say, whatever we talk about right now, because we're going to guess a little bit about what America is going to be witnessing over the next couple of days coming out of Washington, but... And get everybody ready. Maybe a little primer, you know, kind of a little, like, what to look out for here. Like those NFL shows that talk about what the upcoming games are. But I just want to tell you, we just did a story that there is a chance that an asteroid is going to hit Earth on May 6th, 2022. So really, who cares? I think is ultimately...
Right on.
Really the ultimate issue here. But that's what it is. All right. Democrats are promising that it's going to be a very, very, very bloody week for the president on up in these hearings, the public hearings. And some of that's based on what they heard in the private hearings on Saturday. And I wonder, are they risking overselling that? Because if you look at this so far, even Saturday Night Live took a shot at the impeachment hearings of being too, you know, people are too bored to be interested. You know, they're too boring for people to really be interested in. The ratings are down a little bit from like the Kavanaugh hearings and things like that. They do have a lot of social media engagement, but that's for sure. But is there something this week that people you think are going to hold on to?
Well, there's that poll out today said something from ABC that said 70% of the country believes that what the president did is wrong, 51% impeach and remove because of it, and then it's like 21% are paying attention to the hearings or something. It's a low number, but we've long sort of discussed and I guess concluded that we've never had more information and people have never been less informed because they're overwhelmed by too much of it. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to politics, they're really tuning it out. So I didn't expect for there to be a high level of engagement about this. But CNN is reporting right now that Republican lawmakers are shaken by the testimony of the guy who spoke on Friday, help me out with his name, who was in the restaurant. He's going to be on Thursday next to Fiona Hill, David Holmes. Mm-hmm. And they're freaked out about him testifying about this conversation. And now he's going to be in public on Thursday. And what's kind of interesting to me is that they're freaked out. Like they couldn't, it's beyond their imagination that this never happened and the president... It's like a security risk, and he does all his conversations on cell phones in a restaurant in Ukraine, which is like completely wired the whole country by the Russians. But my point is that no matter what the public is engaging in terms of the hearings, and no matter what it does to the polling, Republican senators have to weigh in on all the facts. They can't pretend they were too busy to know what David Holmes or Fiona Hill or Sondland or Vindman or anyone says this week.
Yeah. It's their job.
And Sondland is, Sondland is the one who executed the drug deal. So it's not like we can, you know, lean back on the talking points that worked a couple days ago. I mean, you know, by some accounts, they've changed. They've had 22 separate defenses, some listed at 17, but it continues to move because things get worse. So, you know, I believe entirely the president will be impeached and that he will not be convicted and that he and removed from office and that he very well could easily get reelected. But this is just a very tough vote for Republicans who refuse to defend his conduct. Some of them say it's really bad, 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 but it's not impeachable. And they're dreading, you know, what's going to be revealed this week in this hearing, particularly Sondland. So, you know, I don't know that bombshells move the public anymore. I just am saying that, the Republicans are very uncomfortable with, these fact witnesses coming out and talking through all this stuff. And Sondland, you know, he's the person. He either pleads the fifth or he flips on the president. And that's a big deal.
What do you think the chances are he'll plead the fifth? And if he does, how does that play, do you think, with the American public?
Well, I mean, you know.
American public's again, too big of a word, by the way.
I mean, you know, the Democrats will remind everybody that President Trump said in the campaign trail that people who plead the fifth are guilty. But, again, I don't know how much of it penetrates the public. And I don't know what Sondland is going to do make America great again. You know, he was like a Trump critic who ended up coming into the power circle and spending a lot of dollars and ending up with this great job.
He's a Trump competitor, isn't he? He's, you know, a hotelier, I think. So
well,
you think he comes from?
He's ever been a competitor in the hotel business, but. I think he knows where he's going back, which is to his hotel business, and it's just literally like he has to choose the note he wants to go out on. But this EU ambassadorship thing, I don't expect to last.
I don't think any of these ambassadors will be lasting very long. I think you get a sense that there's a whole lot of other stuff. We were just talking a few minutes ago about, we brought this up in the top five, about Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, might be on the outs with the president because the president is reportedly, the president is mad that a lot of State Department officials and, you know, people of what that he would refer to as the deep state they're cooperating with the investigation. Why can't Pompeo stop that? And Pompeo can't really stop that without violating the law himself.
Yeah, it was very, very, very hard for me to watch that today, that Pompeo would go to the mics. The reporting out of NBC this morning was what you described. The president thinks that this is his romper room and everyone is supposed to serve his personal interests and goals. So there's no foreign service. There's no rule of law, Constitution, Congress, you know, we've been through all this before. So he's mad at Pompeo for not shutting all these people down. And Pompeo goes out and is asked about Bill Taylor, testified last week, and Marie Yovanovitch, and will not, as the Secretary of State, affirm the value of their service or say anything about their credibility or their contribution. And it just, we all know why. It's because anything that is even remotely positive is considered an act of disloyalty by the president because these people are evil deep staters to him now. But the idea that he would do that he would be willing to go out, take those questions, and refuse to stand up for those people, even in the mildest way, really speaks to the situation we're in, where we're not going to get a Bill Taylor again to join the Foreign Service and spend their lives fighting for freedom in Europe, or like Marie Yovanovitch and these, you know, give three decades of their life. We're just not going to have people like that once we show Americans that you get trash and you get sidelined, you get threatened, and you get mistreated, and it's not worth it.
So I'm going to take the asteroid now.
Let's party like it's 1999 since everything's going to end on May 6th.
Yeah.
But I think Mike Pompeo, it was an incredibly shameful moment today for him to do that.
Well, and, you know, this could be an aberration in time, too. I mean, you have to look at, I'm going to hold out hope that this there's a lot of outlier behavior here. And if you're, I think there are a lot of Republicans, right, that are going to rallies and they are following this on Fox News. And they're equally concerned because they think that the country is being stolen from, or their president is being stolen from them because of an illegal investigation, right? That's, I think, why they want the whistleblower, because they want to prove that the whistleblower had some sort of connectivity to the Bidens. And then if they prove that, then they get to basically Muellerize or Comeyize the entire investigation and say, listen, the whole thing, you know, was started, but the fruit of the poison tree, even though it technically is not accurate, it's at least an argument. It's a way out. And I'm watching Republicans like Ron Johnson. I know a lot of these guys too. I mean, for years and years and years and years, you know, that have been, you know, on this show and, you know, when they get up on Ron Turner, when guys like that get up on television and they have to try to explain something that is really not easy to explain. It's not easy. I mean, the only thing you can go with, because it just keeps changing. Now, if Ambassador Sondland, who's going to testify on Thursday, right? It's Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got tomorrow, testimony tomorrow, you got testimony Wednesday, and then testimony Thursday. If Ambassador Sondland, you know, goes for broke and decides he wants to just go and tell his story, and if his story is in contradiction with the president's story, I think then there may be some heads that turn. I'm going to guess that doesn't happen. I'm going to guess he either takes the fifth or he decides he's going to go for it. And if God forbid he gets convicted, that he will be acquitted. He'll, you know, be pardoned on the way out. Speaking of that, can I ask you something? Crazy Roger Stone going to get a pardon, do you think?
Well, I mean, the president's tweet was very rapid. The response about how it was not fair that Roger Stone was convicted, and that, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton need to go to jail with Adam Schiff right now, or I don't know what the tweet said, but something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting that he didn't even, you know, try to be mysterious, and he's, it, you know, obviously it wouldn't surprise me if that was under consideration. But the news out of that, which is that we have the House investigating whether or not the president lied to Mueller in his written responses that he refused to do in person. That's also a huge issue, because it's literally Rick Gates, the credibility of Rick Gates versus Donald Trump. and that's a really big issue. So there's a lot Republicans have to worry about, unless they just want to Pompeo out and jump, you know, over the cliff. But I think a lot of them are really struggling. And again, I think it leads to impeachment and an acquittal, but it could be a bipartisan vote. And that's what they're trying to avoid. And they're stalking these people night and day to make sure that even Republicans retiring from the House don't turn on him. That it has to be perfectly partisan in the House and perfectly partisan in the Senate. That's what the president demands. So we will see what the end result is, but Sondland, there's emails. Like, he either literally has to plead the fifth or go all in. He cannot survive that day trying to squirm and filibuster and, you know, use some word salad. That's not going to cut it. We all know what happened now. So, right? So it's like full flip or it's
take the fifth.
Or it's the fifth. Yeah.
Right. Take the fifth and go quietly back into the hotel world. Which is really,
I would highly recommend it to him at this time.
All right. Well, I'm leaning toward the asteroid. We got 2.5 years to go, so we'll be fine.
Well, thank God it's coming.
Thank you, AP. AP Stoddard, Real Clear Politics. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There we go. It's fun. It's fun. Well, it's going to be an interesting week. It'll be consequential. We always say that it's going to be consequential, and then it ends up not being consequential. Right now, Kim Gordon has got the WGN News.
How about it?
Get that going for us, which is nice. And Eddie Olchek's going to join us in just a few minutes. But I would like to tell you that your yoga pants are killing your clams.
Killing your what?
Clams.
Your clams?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. There is a story, honest to God, and I think it's an unfortunate headline, but I don't know if it was intentional. But yoga pants, because yoga pants are made out of microplastics.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought they were, well, I guess.
Well, you know how they're weird. I don't know what the hell that substance is.
So nice and comfy and stretchy, I guess. I always thought there was at least some cotton in them.
And some seem a little different than others. Not all identical.
Right.
Based off my extensive research on yoga pants.
The microplastics are being detected in razor clams and oysters.
And they're saying it's from yoga pants?
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem.
Because there are a lot of plastics ending up
in
the ocean.
Yeah, what else are those plastics in?
Well, researchers claim that yoga pants, fleece jackets, and other sweat-absorbing clothes frequently worn by Pacific Northwesterners are significantly contributing to this local plastic problem. I mean,
what would you
I'm
do
not
that?
Making this up!
I know.
So, yeah, I think they went for the headline there more than anything.
You think?
I honestly thought my yoga pants were made of cotton, but okay. There must be all these, like, athletic substances that make things, you know, keep you drier. I don't know, that are just more high-tech fabrics. They're plastic-based.
Well, yeah, right? I mean, that's that. How do you think they get that stretchy thing, right? How do they get that stretchy thing? It's not rubber.
Or, like, the dry fit
polyester
kind of thing.
Yeah, the dry fit stuff. That's all like a plastic thing deal.
I'm surprised it doesn't react, like, your skin doesn't react to it more then.
Well, it would react to it if it were rubber. Maybe more so than the plastic. Plastic you don't really react to.
Classic sweat-wicking clothing.
Although I will say sometimes that stuff is like super non-breathing hot. Just tell that to your clams. They're gonna know that.
They're not happy.
Yeah. It's like right where you're like you put this thing on, you're like, I can't believe how warm I'm in this. Although you wear it outside and you still get cold. But in your house, it's too warm to wear.
Yeah, polyester, nylon, acrylic, all forms of plastic.
Study found that 11 microplastic pieces, each collected oyster, and 9 microplastics were clam. So you got your oyster and your clam problems. It appears to be worse for the oyster than it is for your clam. Nearly all of these plastics were microfibers, typically found in clothing made from both synthetic and natural materials, as well as fishing equipment. So you got that problem right there.
Every eco, green-friendly, vegan woman I know all just wear yoga pants. Wait till they read this.
You're going to tell
That's
them?
All they do. They post videos on Instagram of themselves doing yoga in their family room in their yoga pants.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to read that their yoga pants were destroying clams and oysters.
Bring that up at Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Bring that up at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Your cousin who's in from Montana who turned into a
Miss eco-friendly.
Yogi.
What did you say to your cousin?
You're killing oysters. You guys are slaughtering cattle for meat. Well, you're killing oysters with your yoga pants.
Yeah, you know what?
Get that
How
going.
About that, yoga queen? You, your Instagram posting, and your goat. Screw your goat.
Your goats.
Goat yoga you're talking about? What? How did you get to...
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. You have to imagine the drunk mind at that
you
point.
You told me I was a horrible person for drinking out of a straw. Now you're killing oysters.
Hey, so yeah, right? You and your fleece and your yoga pants. These microfilaments can be shed from clothing up to 700,000 per load of laundry. How about that? These particles travel out through the gray water, into the wastewater, out to the Pacific coast.
So that's how it happens. Well, that's...
Yeah, people aren't just throwing their yoga pants in the ocean.
I didn't understand the connection. And then the clams either.
I'm done
also
these.
Surprised me.
Yeah. Done, I'm driving to the ocean. We're throwing them in there.
Yeah.
I got to get rid of these yoga pants. They shouldn't be in the back of my car.
Road trip.
What am I going to do? We got to go to the ocean and get rid of them. Where do you live? In Illinois. But I got to go to the Pacific Ocean and get rid of it. I swear to God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay.
Phew. Get rid of the evidence.
Got rid of them.
All right,
so they
go.
Come off in the wash, yep. The synthetic fibers. Yep. How about that?
That's what they do.
So just don't wash your clothes.
Right.
Go to yoga with the same pants and never wash them.
Lovely.
Lauren Lapka tells us now what's happening on the roads and in the skies. Here come the hawks, the mighty hawks. And here's one. Eddie Elchek joins us right now, and we just gave away tickets to the Thursday game, which, Edzo, I'm very, very excited about, because all of a sudden now, my beloved Chicago Blackhawks are playing like our Chicago Blackhawks should be playing. What do you see as the difference there?
Hi, Roanna. Nice to be with you. Well, look, I mean, I think a lot has changed. The one thing that has not has been the goaltending. The goaltending has been, I don't even know what adjectives to use, but, I mean, it's been all-star caliber. It's been world-class, whatever you want to say. Both Corey Crawford and Robin Leonard have been, I mean, they've been brilliant. And, unfortunately, early, the Hawks weren't defending very well, and they weren't scoring. And that's not a good combination for your goaltenders. But now what's happened in the last 7 games, 8 games, is I think there's been a philosophy change as far as the green light kind of being on all the time for the defenseman to jump into the play, to be a little bit more aggressive, to try to play more on their toes instead of, you know, I mean, I guess probably dictating the terms instead of reading and reacting. So that's one thing for sure. The defensemen have been much more active, not just scoring goals, but just much more active all over the ice. And two, the decision by Jeremy Colleton, the head coach of the Blackhawks, to put the Strome, DeBrincat, Kane line back together. And those guys have been going great guns. Kane has got a goal, I think, in 6 straight, if I'm not mistaken. So I think those two things, Roll, have continue or that have it helped ignite this winning streak. And then when you add it on top of the goaltending, you look like a team that's unbeatable. So right now the Hawks are going very well, and that's what they want to continue to do against Carolina tomorrow night at the United Center.
Hey, Eddie, talk about the play of Kirby Dach. He seems to be fitting in just fine. Had a couple goals last night as well.
Yeah, you know, I think for Kirby, I mean, he's in a situation for the first time. And I had a conversation with him earlier in the year, Kevin, and you know, he's always played at whatever level he was at, right? Like he always was one, you know, was the top player, and he'd always probably play more than half the game. And you know, then he comes into the National Hockey League, you know, and then he got hurt in training camp, and you know, then he got banged up during the start of the season, and you know, he doesn't, obviously he's not playing as much as he used to, or he's used to doing. And I think for him, it's finding that comfort zone, going around the National Hockey League for the first time in his career, and, you know, bouncing around on different lines. And he's played some wing, he's played center. And look, it's a learning curve. And he's shown flashes of what we saw last night and at other times, like all young players. And this is not a shot or disrespect to Kirby or any young player. Sometimes, you know, they get the deer in the headlights mentality, and that's why I think you got to just look at the situation. Every kid's situation is different depending on the team and the players that you have around them. But look, he can learn even though he's not playing as much as he wants or he's used to, and you know, it's a work in progress. So look, I think he's improving, and that's the most important thing. And he is doing a lot of little things that you want to see, and the more he plays, the more confidence he's going to get. And look, he got 2 goals in a game last night, and that's not easy to do. I don't care if you're a guy that's been in a league 8 or 10 years. So he is he's taking nice strides, and they may be small at times, but as long as he keeps trending in that direction, I think the Blackhawks as a management team and the coaching staff will be extremely happy with the progression that you think with a young player.
Corey Crawford, over his last 5 games, I know you mentioned the goaltending situation already, 937 save percentage. Yeah. Leonard, over his last 5, 936 save percentage.
Yeah.
When it comes to playing time, do you think Colleton kind of splits it 50-50 or plays a hot hand eventually down the road?
Well, I think the way that's going right now, Kev, I think you just stay with it. I think you just, it's working. The goaltending, like I said, even the game in Vegas, you know, when was that, 5-6 days ago, whatever it was, I mean, you know, the Hawks fell behind 2-0. I mean, the one thing they do have to break this trend, and I mean, I've talked to the core guys about this, is that, you know, they got to have better starts. Like, that's a concern, obviously, that they haven't been able to get better starts. But, you know, the goaltending sometimes can camouflage a few problems or deficiencies that you might have. And I think you stay with the same rotation. Like the schedule is brutal now coming up here for the next little while. And you want to have a brutal schedule because when you're playing well, you want to play a lot of games. And they played Saturday, they played last night, they played Tuesday, they played Thursday, they played Saturday. So, you know, I mean, look, in the perfect world, I think if you ask either guy, they'd like to get on a roll and play four or five, right? Like, they'd like to play five or seven games. But right now it's working, so, like, I wouldn't tinker with anything. But, you know, as the season goes on, and, you know, look, at some point, just like players, and I'm a former player, and I carry the card for the forward union of the National Hockey League. At some point, you're going to have a tough stretch, right? Like, the goaltending is going to come down a bit because it has been so good for so long. Just the numbers bear that out. So that's where you're going to need you guys to really step up in front and help your goaltenders. But right now, I would just stay the way it is, look, guy plays well, okay, see what the schedule is, and then you put the other guy in, and you want to keep him fresh. You don't want anybody sitting there for too long. But it's a great, great problem to have, and I think that's what the Blackhawks envisioned when they brought in Robin Leonard over the course of the summer.
It just seems that the puck is, we're on offense a lot more than we were for the first half of this Artie Young season.
Yeah.
Right? I
yeah.
mean, it's,
yeah.
and I know that that's what the coach has been preaching is, you know, take it to him, keep it in their end. And they weren't able to do it. They weren't able to maintain control. Now they can. And it
Yeah, they can roll. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think, like I said, I just think that there's no doubt that the mindset has changed for the players on the ice, where now it's like, it's okay, we're going to be aggressive, and we're going to press up, and we can trust. So, like, when a defenseman pinches in, probably the easiest thing to say is, like, when a defenseman pinches in, he knows that a forward's going to be back there supporting him in case he gets beat. Or, hey, you know what, if we give up a two-on-one, our goalies are going to stop him. So, I just think that, you know, the aggressiveness that they're playing with is much more noticeable now from up top. And again, when I watch the games, I get a chance to watch up top and see how things develop. And there's no doubt. I mean, it is a change. I mean, it's like going from Chicago summer to Chicago winter. Just the mindset and the
just form. Like that. Yeah, just like with that. You go from one
forget
to the other.
The fall. Forget the fall. Just go right from summer to winter. That's the massive change that has happened here over the course of the last 7 or 8 games. And look, I think as a team right now offensively, though, they feel if they give up 4 or 5, they're going to get 5 or 6. Like, that's the confidence right now of this team. And I think we saw that last night. I mentioned it with the great Pat Foley on our broadcast last night on NBC Sports Chicago, that, you know, you saw some overpassing last night. And that's usually a sign of a team that's got a lot of swagger and a lot of confidence. So, look, if the other team gets 3 or 4, they're going to get 4 or 5, and it's going really good offensively right now.
How's the book going? Eddie Olczyk, Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life, is one of the great reads.
Oh,
I'm telling
great.
You, if you love hockey, you love Eddie Olczyk, you love sports, but mostly if you love the human spirit, which is what that book is really about, and the human spirit taking on one of the great challenges, an existential crisis as you did, and how you got through that, it doesn't get any better. It is a perfect, unsolicited. I don't have a piece of this book. I don't have a piece of a horse with Eddie. I don't have a piece of any of that.
No.
All I'm telling you is that this is a perfect holiday gift for somebody who's either a hockey fan, an Edzo fan, or somebody who is struggling or has struggled with cancer or any kind of disease that, you know, scary that you're not sure you're coming out of the other end of that tunnel. This book does it for you.
Well, I appreciate that, Ron. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's doing very well. Extremely proud of the book and the reviews on it, and just fans and people that have gone through it and read it. And, you know, like when I was in with you and Richard, 5-6 weeks ago, talking about the book, I really believe is that my goal in that is to help and inspire one person, bring hope to somebody, whether it's a young person that maybe has been doubted in their life and they want to accomplish something, but they keep having people tell them no. I was able to overcome it. Maybe I can bring them a little bit of hope, or somebody that is in the battle. If I can help them get through the day, let alone get through their battle, but I'm hoping I can accomplish three things. My goal, and if I could get two of the three, then I'd be pretty proud. Is I think that you'll shed a tear. Two is I think you'll laugh, and three, I think you'll love a little bit more. And if I can accomplish two of those three things with somebody going through the book, then it was well worth the 16 months of pen to paper to putting my life out there, because regardless if it's hockey, horse racing, or my battle with cancer,
I don't pull any punches, and I just tell it the way that I felt it and saw it, and hopefully that can help people along the way.
All right. The great Eddie Olczyk. Eddie Olczyk beating the odds in Hockey Night. Thank you, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, if anybody's out in Warrenville tonight, I'm out at the Buffalo Wild Wings for the Great Pat Foley signing autographs. We got a ticket giveaway, too. We got a ticket giveaway, so if anybody wants to stop by, say hello out in Warrenville at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Thanks, Enzo.
All right, thanks, everybody.